In a time when all seemed lost, a voice rose from the wilderness, a voice rooted in our unique form of government, a confident voice filled with hope and inspiration that grows louder and louder while articulating the truth for all to hear. It is the voice to be reckoned with. It is the American Adversaries Radio Show, featuring your host, political scholar and philosopher Christopher Hart. Co-host, South African-American patriot Aubrey Kahn, News Talk Divas Kathy Santomassino and Patricia Summerlin, and more. Now, sit back and enjoy The American Adversaries.
Ladies and gentlemen, we ain't going to take it anymore because we ain't got it. That's right. All right. Thanks so much for tuning in tonight. That's right. You are listening to the American Adversaries on a three-hour Sunday classic tour. I hope you're ready to go the whole 3 hours with us. If not, please sit back and take in as much as you can. That's right. I'm coming to you live from the Relax in Comfort Studios on a Father's Day. So we'll be wishing all the fathers out there a very happy Father's Day. Hope all you pops are having a good one here today. And so we'll be doing that throughout the show. All right. So I'm coming to you live on FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer. Oh, actually, I'm sorry, I'm not. Because right now the Rays post-game show is going on, and congratulations to the Rays for winning. Pulled off a 3-1 victory against the Yanks, who got the best record they have, and just barely ahead of the Boston Red Sox, but they have the best record in baseball right now. So congratulations to the Rays for knocking them off. And then tomorrow they're going to be out on the road, so they'll be playing a little bit later during this week. They'll be playing 8 o'clock games instead of 7 o'clock games. But back to us right here tonight. We are actually coming to you live on 1520 WBZW, where we simulcast on Sunday nights, one of our Salem Media Group stations here. And, of course, on AM660TheAnswer.com, your smart devices, those of you who have downloaded and the rest of you who haven't can anytime. It's still free and available. The Answer Orlando app, and then, of course, on Alexa devices. Now, I had anticipated having you also be able to see and listen to us live on Facebook, but as I was setting the thing up, there was like a lightning strike or something, and there was a flicker in the lights, and since then, there doesn't seem to be any access to my camera. So I'll keep trying that during the breaks, and we'll see what we can do. I'm not too much of a technical troubleshooter, but there's not too much that can go wrong. I mean, there's a camera with a wire that goes into a computer, and that's about it. So we'll once again see what we can do to get that up and running. By the way, we had a contest the other night to name this here camera, which I can't get working right now. Maybe we should call it the Silent Cam, or Deadeye, the Deadeye Cam. But in fact, have come up with a name for it, which we will reveal tomorrow. Okay, so we have named the camera and going to roll out that name tomorrow. And I hope you like it, but I think it fits us because we have fits around here. So fits us. Never mind. Okay, so I am the philosopher, political mad scientist Christopher Hart. Jeff Sinis is indeed on the bridge. 407-774-8255 is the number. Aubrey Kahn is on his way to have dinner with one of his three lovely daughters, and so he won't be with us tonight. He's celebrating Father's Day in fine fashion, and hats off to him for doing so. And by the way, if you're listening right now, Aubrey, I've got your headphones. So anyways, we do have the Divas going to be with us tonight. Sunny, our California gorgeous lady of wrestling. And, of course, Kathy Santomassino, and she's got some odd stories. She'll be chipping in tonight. And so once again, we invite you to join us anytime as well at 407-774-8255. I wanted to start tonight with a, I kind of hate starting the show with a sad story, but I think I'll start it and end it tonight with this same story. And excuse me as I'm digging through my notes here. Because unfortunately, this story is not getting any attention at all. And I'll show you literally, I was going to show you, but now I'll literally read to you exactly what I'm talking about. But in Kansas City this past week, I believe it was Thursday, actually, two deputies, county deputies, were taking an individual who was already in custody to court. And outside the court building, the individual was able to overcome the deputies, evidently grab one of their weapons, and shot them both in the head. And they now have both died. And I want to give you an example of what I'm talking about, because I've got Orlando, the local rag here, the Orlando Slantinel, as it's commonly known around these parts, that actually has a story about this incident. And I'm going to read the story to you right now in its entirety. Now, please bear with me, but don't worry, you're not going to have to take a bathroom break. You'll see what I mean. This is the story. I quote, "An inmate shot and killed two sheriff's deputies in broad daylight Friday in Kansas while they were transporting him from a Kansas City jail to a courthouse across the street for a hearing, authorities say. One of the mortally wounded deputies managed to shoot the suspect, who remains hospitalized." Unquote. That's it. That's the extent of the story. They don't give the deputies names. They don't say give any other circumstances about it. They don't tell you, for instance, and this probably really shouldn't matter, but because it does in this day and age, I'll report it. They don't tell you that the perpetrator, the guy who shot these two deputies, was a black man, and that the two deputies were a white man and a white woman. Now, as I said, I guess in a more perfect world, if there is such a thing, that shouldn't matter. But in the day and age of Black Lives Matter, I think it matters a lot. Because the fact of the matter is that a police officer is far more at risk of being killed, whether the police officer is white, black, Hispanic, Asian, doesn't matter. The police officer is far more in danger of being killed by a black man than any black man is in danger of being killed by a police officer, regardless of color. You follow that? A police officer of any race or color is far more likely to be killed by a black man than a black man is to be killed by any police officer. And yet, when two deputies are killed, as this puts it, in broad daylight, and I was wrong, it was Friday, it was not Thursday, it was Friday. When two deputies are killed in broad daylight on a Friday in a Sunday newspaper where they have plenty of time to gather the facts and the names and all of that stuff, you get one paragraph. As a matter of fact, I think it's only two sentences. Let me see here. Inmate shot, blah, 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 across the street from a hearing, authorities say, period. Yeah, two sentences. Two sentences. I suppose that's fair, right? One sentence per deputy. One sentence per deputy. And yet, if these two deputies had killed that black man in his attempt to try to kill them, oh, it's happened again in Kansas City. Black man killed by white police. When's this ever going to stop? Black Lives Matter. NFL, take a knee. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's what we'd be enduring tonight. Black man killed, unwarranted. Why couldn't they have done something else? He was in custody. And there are questions to be answered, by the way. How in the heck did this guy do this? How could this have happened? Evidently, he was not secured properly. The only thing I can think of. If he was handcuffed behind his back, he may have somehow managed, and some people can do this, double-jointed contortionist or whatever you want to call it, but I've seen people do this, handcuffed behind the back, manage to get those handcuffs around in front of them. Once you got your hands in front of you, you can then do a lot of things, even though your hands are handcuffed together. You can, for instance, knock somebody upside the head and take their gun, shoot them in the head with it. Or perhaps if he were even belly chained, I don't know if he were belly chained. Belly chain is basically a chain belt which the handcuffs are passed through so that you can't move your hands away from your waist. But perhaps if it were not attached properly, he could have shinnied out of that thing and got his hands in front of him. Now he's got a chain that he can use as a weapon. Like I say, I don't know the circumstances because they only gave us one damn paragraph, two sentences. These lives were only, I guess, worth 2 cents. And by the way, they can't give you the names, but I will. It was Deputy Patrick Moore and Deputy Teresa King. Patrick Moore, Teresa King. Now, perhaps there'll be a follow-on story tomorrow in the Sentinel, but I ain't going to hold my breath. Not in the Monday newspaper, which is hardly a newspaper at all anymore. Two sentences, and you can't tell me that when this happened Friday that they couldn't have had time to put a little bit more of a blurb in here, at least. But see, this doesn't fit the scripted storyline. This doesn't fit what the media wants everybody thinking. They don't want people to really understand how much danger our police force is in each and every day. Just see what happened here this week, right here, Central Florida. Within about a 30-mile radius of this station, because you had the one guy shot up there in Eustace, and you had the fella shot right here in Orlando, who's still in a coma, last news reports. Still in a coma. And the deputies killed get two sentences. And their name's not even mentioned. But I guarantee you, if the roles were reversed, and they'd have killed this guy, him trying to do whatever he did to kill them, they would have been vilified. They would have been the problem. Another example of the mistreatment of blacks in this country. It's all a lie. It's all another hoax. And there is no excuse for this. Not one little excuse for this. So please, well, here we are asking for prayers again, but prayers mean something, and that's why we ask for them so often, to pray now for Deputy Teresa King and Deputy Patrick Moore, and for the safety of all of our law enforcement officers, and for the safety of this great nation. All right, we will take a break and come back with more. And I believe Deputy Moore was a father. I'm not sure about that. Because they didn't write enough of a story to know any damn thing about this. Ain't right. But we'll be right back.
Hey, Central Florida, Dave Ramsey here. When you need advice on your taxes and want to work with someone who has the heart of a teacher, you need to see Larry Herring, CPA. He's one of our tax-endorsed local providers, and he's ready to talk with you about all your income tax needs. Larry Herring will help you manage your taxes just like any other expense. Take it from me, Larry is your guy. 407-647-7777 or at herringcpa.com.
Do you suffer from back pain? Have trouble sleeping? Do you ever wish you could get a truly great night's sleep or have your own massage on demand? For 51 years, Relax and Comfort has helped people sit, sleep, and feel better every day. See why ABC, CBS, and Fox are talking about the new X10 bed. It's the perfect marriage of a Sleep Number bed and a Tempur-Pedic bed. Its cool gel memory foam comfort layers are totally adjustable from ultra soft to ultra firm for each side. Add a zero gravity base and you'll have hundreds of healthy and relaxing positions for you and your partner. Save thousands over the leading national brands. With the sustainable X10 design, you'll never need to buy another bed. Get the world's best adjustable beds and massage chairs at no interest, 0% financing. That's less than $5 a day to own. Relax in comfort. Family owned and operated over 50 years. Has stores in Winter Park, Sanford, Windermere, and the Villages. Learn more. Visit relaxandcomfort.com. Call 321-329-3118. That's 321-329-3118.
Welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. That's right. You are listening to the American Adversaries Sunday evening 3-hour classic tour. All right. I am Christopher Hart. Once again, 407-774-8255 is the number to the Relax and Comfort Studios. And don't forget, you can also email me, by the way, at any time, including during the show, obviously, at AmericanAdversariesRadio.com. That's AmericanAdversariesRadio.com. And I'm still working to get us up on the Facebook page here tonight. I'm going back to square one, starting over, and I didn't quite get through it in that break, so I'll try it again here in the next break at the bottom of the hour here in just a few minutes. So I apologize, but once again, I'm working hard at it. And once again, we have named the camera, and we will roll out that name there tomorrow. Also, I'm going to formally recognize our newest sponsor. To the program. I hope you've heard the commercials here, Larry Herring, CPA. So once again, I'm going to give him a formal welcome tomorrow, but we'll also thank you for supporting our sponsors. And please now consider Larry when you have accounting type needs and also financial planning needs. Okay. I was talking about these two killed, the two deputies killed in Kansas City, and barely a mention. And probably the, I can imagine the media excuse may actually be something like this. Well, it happens so doggone often, it ain't really news anymore. And they'd be half right anyway. It does happen so doggone often, way too often. As I've told you on this show, the statistics clearly show that once every 3 days, a law enforcement officer is killed in the line of duty. That's some 120 to 130 every year. And so far this year, and, you know, not to make light of it, but it's a banter year for the death of law enforcement personnel. And it is yet still a big story. It should be a huge story. But no, you don't have NFL players out there protesting somehow about police officers killed in the line of duty, do you? Mm-mm. And I guess if you did, they probably wouldn't get much attention anyway. So if they're actually doing it, we probably wouldn't hear about it. Because as I said, it doesn't fit the media's scripted storyline, which is that everything good about the United States of America is bad. When you think about it, that is the media storyline. That is the liberal storyline. That is the Democratic talking point. Everything that is good about America is bad. Like enforcing the law, and therefore law enforcement officers. Because we actually ask them to go out and enforce the law and expect them to do so, they have become villains. And because we actually expect our government to see that laws are enforced, sometimes particular administrations become villains. Like what's going on right now with this immigration crisis, which I'll get to here in a couple of minutes. But I want to get back to this thing with the police officers, because you've heard me talking on this show extensively about the Wounded Officers Initiative. And I guess you're going to have to continue to hear me talking about it, because the need is there, obviously. Not only is a police officer killed once every 3 days, it's about once every 3 hours that a police officer, law enforcement personnel, is killed, I'm sorry, wounded or injured in the line of duty. And obviously you can't do anything for a police officer who's been killed except perhaps take care of his or her family in some fashion. We rally around and do that, and that's good. Unfortunately, the need is there. But unfortunately, the need is also there for wounded officers, and there's very little rallying going on around them. And I guess the media excuse might be, well, doggone, it happens once every 3 hours. What do you expect us to do? Hold a regular telethon? No. But reporting the statistics accurately would be a whole lot better than what you do now, which is to say ignore it. Give a little attention to the problem of taking care of wounded law enforcement people would be a newsworthy story, were it not that it, of course, doesn't go along with the scripted storyline, which is that law enforcement personnel are bad. Why do you want to make them into a sympathetic figure? Well, they're the problem, right? Matter of fact, in some people's minds, the more that they are wounded and injured, the better. If you don't think I'm telling you the truth, just listen to the rhetoric coming out of the left. So, once again, we ask you to support the Wounded Officers Initiative, started right here locally, one of scant few organizations like it, and it has grown considerably, but it's got a lot of upside room to grow. Lot. And so any help that you could provide them, if even it's just spreading the word around to other people you know that there is an organization called the Wounded Officers Initiative and that people can do things to help these folks, like this officer who is laying in a coma downtown. I presume he's at Orlando Regional, or he's probably at the Rollins, Florida Hospital. He's laying in a coma downtown, young officer. Young wife. Isn't it interesting, too, how almost all of these police officers are married, have children, have families? Almost all of them. But, yeah, like I said, to the left, what's wrong with America is everything we consider to be right about America. So, once again, woundedofficersinitiative.org is where you can go to find out more about what they're doing. And woundedofficersinitiative.org is where you can go to make a contribution or perhaps somehow volunteer your services, whatever they may happen to be. I don't know who you are. You do, though. And maybe you have something to offer to the Wounded Officers Initiative. But certainly just reaching out and showing them your support and telling other folks about them is a big help as well. Nothing like the word of mouth, if you know what I mean. And so, they have teamed up with the Full Sail University over there, and they're producing videos to try to help get the word out about what these officers go through. And just what even officers who aren't wounded or quote-unquote wounded or injured in the line of duty, so the stuff they see every day and they got to take home with them, that's a whole nother world that we don't know. You can watch these shows on television, you know, live police action or whatever, and that gives you that's just a smidgen of a taste of what they go through, because you're not in the car with them. You're not feeling that jolt of adrenaline. You're not feeling the fear. You're not smelling the smells and hearing the sounds and seeing the real sights. And so it's a whole different experience. WoundedOfficersInitiative.org. By the way, they've got a golf tournament coming up in August at a beautiful golf course down there, Kissimmee Way. And so if you're a golfer or know someone who is and would like to have a beautiful golf outing helping a great cause, woundedofficersinitiative.org. One more time, woundedofficersinitiative.org. Deputy Teresa King, Deputy Patrick Moore. They may remain nameless in the mainstream media, but at least somebody now knows who they are. We'll be right back. Now knows who they are. We'll be right back with more of the American Adversary Sunday Evening 3-Hour Classic Tour. Ever been close to tragedy? Or been close to folks who have? Have you ever felt the pain so powerful, so heavy you collapse?
With SRN News, I'm Gordon Griffin. Authorities say an all-night New Jersey Arts Festival turned deadly when at least two gunmen opened fire. One suspect was shot and killed by police. A second is in custody. Mercer County Prosecutor Angelo Onifre said that the shooting happened at around 2:45 a.m. Sunday at the Art All Night Festival in Trenton. 22 people were injured. Four people remain critical, including a 13-year-old boy. A suicide bomber struck in Afghanistan's eastern city of Jalalabad on Sunday, killing at least 19 people. In the second attack in as many days targeting Taliban fighters, security forces, and civilians celebrating a holiday ceasefire. The suspect in a taxi crash near Red Square that injured two Mexican soccer fans and six other pedestrians as Russia hosts the World Cup told interrogators that he fell asleep at the wheel. This is SRN News.
For most Floridians, our home is our biggest investment. If you are shopping for a new home, vacation home, investment property, want to remodel your home, or need to refinance your existing home loan, you need the very best mortgage professionals working for you to make your American dream come true. I'm Mariah Lee with Patriot Home Funding. And regardless of your mortgage needs, Patriot Home Funding has just the right loan for you. All of our loan products offer the lowest possible fixed rates. We don't charge annoying and expensive junk fees, and you get the very best service and care from me and the rest of our experienced all-star team. Contact us today for a quick, easy, and free pre-qualification. You can call us at 877-377-8123 or visit us on the web at myphf.com. At Patriot Home Funding, we finance the American dream.
Patriot Home Funding is a licensed mortgage broker in the state of Florida. NMLS 171699 and is an equal housing lender.
The news stories are alarming. Sexual assault, violence, workers' comp fraud, and drug abuse. And it's happening in the workplace. Last year, a construction worker in Central Florida attacked his boss with a front-end loader and almost buried him alive. And the Pulse nightclub shooter worked as a security guard for a company that knew he was mentally unstable. Hi, I'm Kathy Santamassino with ASAP Programs. If you're a business owner or manager, it's your responsibility to safeguard your employees. Did you know a company can be held liable if an employee does harm to someone? Negligent hiring can result in a company being sued, especially if that company didn't conduct a thorough background check. With Applicant 360 Screening Solutions, you will be able to effectively screen your job applicants and make smarter hiring choices. Don't base your decision on a first impression and a resume. Call me today at 407-702-9511. Call 407-702-9511.
Hey, this is the AWA's illustrious Johnny Stewart. You know, when I'm driving around Orlando in my new Porsche, I listen to WORL. It's the answer. FM 105.5, AM 660. Christopher Hart, the American Adversary Show. You know, it's like political professional wrestling. And if you people in Orlando don't listen to it, I'm going to take the silver spoon out of my mouth and I'm going to bash you over the head.
Oh, all right. We don't want that to happen. Once again, thanks for tuning in to the American Adversaries on our Sunday evening 3-hour classic tour. And I now have the bleep bleep cam up running. I didn't say what we're calling the cam, but the camera is now up and running, so you can now watch and hear us live on Facebook. And I apologize for that. I don't know what happened, but we are up and flying now. And so if you'd like to partake of the Facebook signal, please do so. And if you can't do it now, you can always go back later on. And please leave comments. We like to see what you have to say. And don't forget, Kathy Santomassino, who will be in here shortly, is constantly, every day, putting great informative and oftentimes funny and ironic stuff up on our Facebook page, which is simply American Adversaries on Facebook. You will see that I am now alone in the studio. Aubrey Kahn tonight, the firm foundation of the American Adversaries, is with his daughter, one of his beautiful daughters, one of his three beautiful daughters, and they're celebrating Father's Day in fine fashion. So happy Father's Day to all you pops out there, and I hope you also have managed to celebrate it in fine fashion. And I was talking in the first part of the show And I'm going to mention this so that it is on Facebook for a record, that the media has paid scant little attention to deputies Patrick Moore and Teresa King, who were killed in Kansas City on Friday by a prisoner that they were escorting into the courthouse for a hearing. And the prisoner evidently managed to get one of their weapons and shot them in the head. And they have both died, one immediately at the scene. I believe that was Patrick Moore. Teresa King died later at the hospital. I may have that backwards, though. And the reason why I don't know for sure is because the media is not telling us a doggone thing about this. And that's the second tragedy of this story. And the overall tragedy of this story, as I said, is that once every 3 days, a law enforcement officer is killed in the line of duty. And the media also doesn't. I'm going to go ahead and read again the story in the Orlando Sentinel today, and I'm holding the newspaper up now so the people can see it on Facebook there. And I know it's at a little bit of a distance, but let me just turn to the front page so you can verify this is the local rag. There it is, Orlando Sentinel, okay? But they don't have a front page story about this. They got Disney's Hollywood Dream elusive at park. Now, that's pretty doggone important, at least around here, I suppose it is. Beijing trades tariff punches with D.C. Well, that, I suppose, is worthy of the front page. Deportation weighs heavily on Polk family. It's a story about a woman who's here, came here illegally, and has since managed to have a pretty sweet life here, and now she's going to be deported. And the whole point of this is that we're supposed to feel sorry for her. Not a doggone thing here about the deputies. You got to go to page A4, where they have these what they call news briefing articles. And of the news briefing articles for today, I'm now holding my finger on the one about the deputy shot and killed. I know you can't see from the camera from this distance, but it's one of the smallest ones. One of the smallest stories on this page of small stories. Here's what it says. An inmate shot and killed two sheriff's deputies in broad daylight Friday in Kansas while they were transporting him from a Kansas City jail to a courthouse across the street for a hearing, authorities say. Period. That's one sentence. One of the mortally wounded deputies managed to shoot the suspect, who remains hospitalized. Period. That's it. Two lousy, measly sentences is all the lives of these deputies are worth, to the Orlando Sentinel anyway. And by the way, their names are Patrick Moore, Deputy Patrick Moore, and Deputy Teresa King. And what the article also doesn't tell us is the name of the guy. Now, Fox has been reporting this, and this is why there's no excuse that the Orlando Sentinel couldn't have had at least a little bit more in here. Perhaps they will tomorrow, but then who the hell reads the Monday newspaper? The reason there's such a small Monday newspaper is nobody reads it. But they feel like they got to continue to put it out for the few folks who do. And what they also don't tell you in that little two-sentence article there is that it was a black man who killed two white deputies. And yet, as I conjectured during the first part of the show, I guarantee, at least I'd place a bet, that if this had been these two deputies killed this handcuffed, obviously, you know, helpless black man as he tried to pull this off, if they had somehow managed to stop him and shoot him in the process and perhaps killed him, why, it would have been, oh, God, here it all, oh, Black Lives Matter, Colin Kaepernick, where are you, you hero? Oh, God, how can we ever stop this? I don't hear any tears for these deputies. And as I said, it happens way too often. I bet you, though, I don't know, but I'm going to take a bet. I think it's a fairly safe one, but most likely Mark Walters and the guys on Armed American Radio, if he hasn't already, because he has a daily show, but if he hasn't already talked about it, I would imagine he will tonight when he follows us up at 8 o'clock. By the way, I see I got a little action going on over here on Facebook. Thank you, folks, for that, and thanks for being patient. Let's go to Eddie on the line. Hey, Eddie, yeah, how you doing tonight? Hey, Eddie, how you doing tonight?
Hi, Christopher. Can you hear me okay, buddy?
Yeah, go ahead.
Hey, thank you for that. You know, I appreciate, you know, the show and what you're talking about, because, you know, what I'm out about in my workday, when I see police officers stop and take a break to have a lunch or get a coffee, I go up and I thank them for what they do, because, you know what, that tends to be a thankful job in this day. You know, I'm grateful as being a veteran, but for me, in my day-to-day world, I'm thankful for the police officers that serve us every day and what they do for us.
Yeah, absolutely. And can you imagine, we've heard these stories about officers, you know, in the line of duty, going to a restaurant or a place where they're thrown out because they're in their officers, I mean, they're in their uniform, weapons and everything. So it's just a huge double standard. So, but thanks, Eddie. I appreciate your sentiments. Appreciate you out there. By the way, we're now back up on FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer. And for those of you folks who have been listening to the Rays post-game show, hopefully, if you haven't heard our show before, you'll stick around. And for those of you who listen to the Rays and don't like our show but somehow managed to force it down, I appreciate that, too. You know who I'm talking about. And I'll take all the listeners I get any way I can get them, right? But I appreciate all of your loyalty for whatever reason you listen to the show. And congratulations to the Rays for knocking off the hottest team in baseball this season, one of them anyway, the Yankees, along with the Red Sox. They're tearing them up. And once again, congratulations to the Rays, and thank you all for listening out there. And once again, you can also now watch and listen to us live on Facebook. That's American Adversaries. And once again, I'll kind of go over a couple of details, because we got an even newer audience now with FM 105.5 and AM 660. But I've been talking about deputies Patrick Moore and Teresa King, who were killed by an individual they were escorting. He was already in custody. They were escorting him to a court hearing. He somehow managed to subdue them, get one of their weapons, and shot them both. And they're both now dead. And this has gotten scant little attention. And yet it is the problem of police officers being killed by black men. This was a black man who killed two white deputies. The problem with police officers being killed by black men is much greater, believe it or not, than the problem of black men being killed by police officers. And yet you wouldn't know that, would you? But if you look at the statistics, the numbers, it is stark. It's not even close. Not even close. A black man is not killed by a police officer once every 3 days. Now, black men are killed by other black men quite more often than that, unfortunately. But it's not by the police. It's the police is the ones that are trying to stop all that. And yet, once every 3 days, a police officer is killed in the line of duty. Not always by a black man, but in this case, it was. And that shouldn't matter. As I said earlier, that should not matter that he was black and they were white, but If the outcome had been reversed, if they had killed him as he was attempted to do this, it would have been, you know, hell to pay. They would have been suspended. They probably would have had to hire lawyers and protect themselves, even with this new administration. So even though this new administration is a lot more supportive of our law enforcement community, as long as you still got this buffoonery going on out there that they are the problem, they need our support and they need our help big time. And once again, I'll say it again, Wounded Officers Initiative. We have two wounded officers right here. They're being wounded eight a day, once every 3 hours, give or take a few minutes. A law enforcement person is injured or wounded in the line of duty. So during the time it takes to do this show tonight, somewhere in this country, a police officer is going to be injured or wounded in the line of duty. And then it'll happen again during Mark Walters' show, because he's got a 3-hour show. And then after that, and after that, and after that, because it don't stop. It don't stop. Neither does the idiocy and the lunacy and the buffoonery coming out of the left. And neither does this doggone clock in front of me, which just went to zero. So I'll take a break and come back with more of the American Adversaries. And we'll talk about this so-called immigration crisis. which is another way to vilify not just the president, as Steve Bannon. What a fantastic interview he gave this morning on ABC with Jonathan Carl. But not only is this being used to vilify the president, it's being used to vilify his supporters, and it's being used to vilify the law enforcement community again. Surprised? I'm not. I bet you ain't either. We'll be right back with more of the American Adversaries Sunday evening, 3-hour classic tour.
Business owners, this is for you. Competition is tough these days, so you need maximum visibility to stand out in this crowded landscape. And Dino Rento Studios can give you that visibility. Their eye-catching signs, 3D displays, banners, bumper stickers, and car magnets will get your business the attention you're looking for. Dino will also make your convention display the talk of the event. So call Dino Rento Studios at 800-704-7089, 800-704-7089, or visit them at DinoRentosStudios.com, DinoRentosStudios.com, where they bring ideas to life.
Nearly everyone loves Italian food, but those people who love true, authentic Italian go to Cafe Positano. It's because owner and chef Pasquale Barba offers home-cooked food from his hometown, Positano, Italy. He is Italian. Local fresh items are combined with rare ingredients imported only from Italy, along with generations-old family recipes. Whether it's pizza or those delicious daily specials, taste for yourself at Cafe Positano, 4 miles west of I-4 on 436. 407-774-8080. The most authentic Italian food in Central Florida.
Found out that y'all can't hear me on Facebook. I'm sorry about that. When we go to the top of the break hour here at the next break, I'll try to set it up again. All right, so I appreciate those of you who are watching, and thank you for the nice comments on there. I do appreciate that. And, yeah, we will always support law enforcement around here on this program. And so this immigration thing. All of a sudden, we've got this huge problem of separating children from their parents as they come across the border. And this is not a new policy, but it is being enforced a little bit more. I think, as Rudy Giuliani put it this morning, it is being enforced a little bit more effectively, you might say, because both during the Bush and also during the Obama administration, you did have situations where kids who are coming to this country with illegal entries being separated from their parents. As a matter of fact, recently there was a infamous photograph of some kids who looked like they were pinned up in a dog kennel or something like that. A fairly large cage for a dog, but for a kid, what's going on here? And, oh, this was what the Trump administration was doing. Well, it turns out that photograph came from the Obama administration. But even then, it was misleading. But what has happened is, it's a fairly complicated story, but I'll try to sort of wring it out so that we can all figure, understand it. When illegals come to this country, oftentimes they come here and they try to sneak in and they don't want anybody to know they're here, and then they may go back and forth, or they may take advantage of some of the welfare that some states like California offer, but they come here as illegals and basically stay as illegals. There is another group of people who come here, many of them across the southern border, quote-unquote, seeking asylum. And these asylum seekers are actually entering along with the others, okay? So until they tell somebody that they're here seeking asylum, no one knows if they are or are not. And so what you have is a system where you have to separate them out. And then once you separate them out, you need to do something with each group. And the so-called catch and release has oftentimes been for, quote-unquote, asylum seekers. When they come here seeking asylum, it's different because they oftentimes they will turn themselves in. And because they want to be put into the legal system. Because they want to get that asylum granted. Now, asylum has normally been granted for things like human rights violations, genocide going on in a country, a civil war going on in a country, circumstances of that nature that are, say, encompass the whole country and make it perilous pretty much for anybody to live in that country unless you're perhaps a regime that is, like, say, in North Korea or Iran, and imposing their will on an unwilling public. But even in those cases, it may be yet an argument to make. It's not automatic. And so what the Trump administration is doing is they are basically asking the Customs and ICE to do the separating rather than giving them a note and having them go to a court and let the court do the initial separating. Now, it's up to the asylum court to decide if their claim is justified or not. And here's where sort of the trick comes in. Because under the Obama administration, they broadened what could be considered an acceptable reason for asylum. Take, for instance, there was an article this week in the New York Times, Wednesday. I'm holding it in my hand right here. And it is from the A21 page of that day's newspaper. It says, the title of the article, it says, "After Sessions' Decision, Women's Asylum Hopes Fall." It tells the story about Blanca. Blanca is a woman who fled Honduras because she was being abused by her husband and others. She had been raped, and it was mainly domestic violence. And she came here seeking asylum. Now, under the normal terms of asylum, this does not qualify. Yeah, it's a very sad situation, yes. And many women in the world endure this, yes. Some voluntarily in Islamic communities, but other places in the world, not so voluntarily anymore. And the and even if it ever was, but it is not, as I said, it is not, it doesn't normally fit the definition of what would be someone granted political asylum, refugee status. She's fleeing from a household and therefore now from her country because she complains that she can't get any justice in her country. And the sad fact of the matter is that's probably true. And very true in many countries. But what Jeff Sessions has done a couple of weeks ago is he reversed that broadening of what would qualify as a legitimate asylum claim. He has narrowed it back down to the traditional asylum claims. As I said earlier, somebody fleeing civil war, genocide, those type things. And this woman is now facing deportation because she didn't get her hearing in front of the judge before Sessions changed the ruling. By the way, she's been here since 2013. So there were, 5 years that this process has gone nowhere? And now suddenly it's going to go somewhere. And that's part of the problem. And this is what the Trump administration is saying. And it's falling, obviously, on deaf ears in the media and on the left. And that is that they are simply enforcing the law. And if you do not like the law, change the law. And by the way, there is now this seemingly out of nowhere panicked push. And obviously this whole business here is adding pressure to do something about immigration reform. And lo and behold, this week they're scheduled to hold votes in the House. And on Tuesday, so for the last I heard, it was scheduled for Tuesday, Paul Ryan and other House leaders are going to meet with President Trump to try to hammer out an immigration deal that would be acceptable to both him and them. And then, of course, you got the Senate. You got to get something through. And so now what you see is both sides lining up around this issue as a campaign issue, which pretty much guarantees that there's nothing going to get done about it. And maybe that's the best thing after all, that let the voters decide in the fall, and if we can muster the forces to get President Trump some reinforcements, then it's far more likely that we're going to get an immigration bill that will have what he wants in it, and which is would be what the United States immigration law needs, and that is no more chain migration, or very, very limited chain migration. No more lottery migration and a border wall, and you do something about the DACA kids. So it is a situation. Once again, though, they're using this, and once again, I'll ask Kathy to link up to that Steve Bannon interview this morning on the ABC show, and Jonathan Carl was sitting in for little Georgie Porgy, and it's a fascinating interview. And I think he may have the best idea of all, and that is that, let this be decided by the voters in the fall who they want to decide, who they want to deal with this issue. But even then, it's not likely that even though the Republicans have the opportunity to pick up a number of seats in the Senate, including perhaps one here in Florida, even though I think Bill Nelson rolled out a pretty effective, at least in his case, his most effective argument for reelection. I'll tell you about that here in a second. But even with the chances that we have in the Senate, I mean, unless we have another 2016 or 2010, we're still going to fall short of a 60-vote majority in the Senate. By the way, that ad with Bill Nelson, I saw it today, and it shows a highway, all right, like Interstate 4, where you have one part of the highway going one direction, another part of the highway going the other direction. And it basically is talking about Bill Nelson being down the middle of the road, that he's not too far right, not too far left. And don't scoff, because that's the message that might get that old SOB reelected. Because he's too smart to run too far to the left, especially here in the state of Florida. And if he can sort of make Rick Scott out to be too far to the right, and he's the sort of the quote unquote Goldilocks candidate, not too hot, not too cold, he might just skate back to reelection. So let me just tell you, folks, if there's one thing Bill Nelson is good at, it's getting reelected. So we got our work cut out. We can do it. But he ain't going to make it easy. Don't expect him to go back. You know, he's Rip Van Winkle when he's elected, but he seems to wake up and come alive during election season. So beware Bill Nelson. All right. And by the way, I got a couple of announcements here, and I'll get a little bit more into these in the next hour of the show, because I'm running out of time in this hour of the show. But we have an opportunity to help the Trump 2020 Club help Pastor Paula White, because the Today Show is doing a taping at her church on, let me see what day it is. It's coming up at the New Destiny Christian Center, 505 McCormick Road, Apopka, next Sunday, the 24th at 10 a.m. And as I said, this is going to be they're taping us part of the show, or they're taping there for part of a segment of the Today Show. And we want to show a lot of support for the president. Of course, Pastor White has been a big supporter of President Trump as well. And you can find out more details at the Trump 2020 Club Facebook page. That's Trump 2020 Club on Facebook. And while you're there, if you haven't already, please join the Trump 2020 Club. All right. So we're going to take a break. I'm going to see if I can get the audio running on this doggone Facebook page. And in the meantime, thanks to you folks who are out there at least watching on Facebook. I appreciate that. We'll be right back with more of the Sunday evening 3-hour classic tour version of the American Adversaries radio show.
In a time when all seemed lost, a voice rose from the wilderness, a voice rooted in our unique form of government, a confident voice filled with hope and inspiration that grows louder and louder while articulating the truth for all to hear. It is the voice to be reckoned with. It is the American Adversaries Radio Show, featuring your host, political scholar and philosopher Christopher Hart, co-host South African-American patriot Aubrey Kahn, News Talk Divas Kathy Santomassino and Patricia Summerlin, and more. Now, sit back and enjoy the American Adversaries.
Show, ladies and gentlemen, or welcome to the show. If you haven't been able to catch the first hour, thanks for tuning in. You are listening to the American Adversaries in the midst of our Sunday evening 3-hour classic tour. And once again, we appreciate you listening on FM 105.5 or AM 660 The Answer. Of course, on AM660TheAnswer.com and Alexa devices, and now you can also hear us. I don't know. These computer things, the computers and I never saw eye to eye, ladies and gentlemen. Anyway, somehow I managed to get the audio portion working again on our Facebook page. And I hope you get better with this. And we have named our Facebook camera. We will roll out that name, as it were, tomorrow, during tomorrow night's show. And so we got some great ideas from our contest on Thursday and incorporated part of the winner's idea into the camera name. So you'll see what we mean when we reveal the name tomorrow. Speaking of names, I am Christopher Hart, and Aubrey Kahn is spending Father's Day with one of his three beautiful daughters. And once again, happy Father's Day to all you pops out there. Hope you're having a real good one. And Jeff Sinis is on the bridge. 407-774-8255 is the number. We were talking about the immigration thing in the first hour of the show as we were finishing up. We'll see what happens this week with the immigration bills. The president was asked about them on Friday, and he gave an answer that he wouldn't sign one of the bills that's working its way through the House. There was some confusion, evidently, about which bill he was referring to. And in all fairness to the president, it wasn't his fault, because there's a lot of confusion in the House as to what they are doing. And I love it when we come up with these new names and phrases. By the way, I got a new name we're going to talk about here in a few minutes. Henry Greenberg. Who in the world is Henry Greenberg? Well, I'm going to tell you in a few minutes. But first, I got to tell you about Queen of the Hill. I'd never heard of this. Now, I studied political science and been watching it a good part of my life, but I never heard of something known as Queen of the Hill. It is evidently a little-known rule in the House of Representatives where the Speaker can allow a vote on a number of versions of a particular bill. In this case, it would be immigration. Let's say there are three versions of the bill, a moderate version, a more Trump-like version, and then the more amnesty-like versions. Okay, the three versions. Under the Queen of the Hill rule, they would bypass the other rules and vote on each of these plans, if you want to call them that, on the floor. And then the one that gets the most votes as long as it's a majority, if none of the three get a majority, then all bets are off. But if one of them gets a majority, that one is the one that goes to the Senate. So it gives everybody a chance to have a vote on their bill. And there are three or four versions, depending on who you talk to. Matter of fact, depending on who you talk to, there's one, two, three, or four versions that are working their way through the House. Basically, simply characterized in the Wall Street Journal as, let's see, four immigration measures. One would be a simple standalone bill, which is supported by Democrats, that offers a path to citizenship for DACA recipients. So in other words, it would be amnesty for DACA. That would be by itself. Then another one is what they call a hardline measure supported by conservative Republicans that would beef up border security and limit legal immigration. In other words, that's the Trump version, you might say, with the four pillars. Then there would be another one, a so-called bipartisan compromise bill, which would be somewhere in between those two, incorporating certain elements of both. And then there is what they call a measure of Mr. Ryan's choosing. In other words, Paul Ryan can put forth his own plan. And under the Queen of the Hill. Where do they come up with this stuff? I thought they were talking about Barney Frank. Oh, wait a minute. No, that was something else. Queen of the Hill is Queen of the Hill is would be if they voted on all four of these. So there's a new twist in the world of politics in the swamp of Washington, D.C. But evidently, the House is prepared to do something this week. And as I said earlier, with this new sudden immigration crisis of children being ripped away from their parents, something must get done. But I pointed some of this out on Friday's show, it's not as dire as it seems. Some children are being separated from their parents. Some children who are being separated from adults, the adults are not their parents. And once again, until somebody has a chance to sort of sort all this business out, nobody really knows for sure what's going on. People show up at the border. Okay, who are they? Where do they come from? Why are they there? And you get them, if it's one or two people who show up, it's pretty easy to deal with it right then and there, right? But when you got hundreds or thousands a day showing up, it's a little bit more difficult to deal with. And the way we do our justice system is, and the way this is being treated now, is when you come here illegally, whether you're seeking asylum or not, you are initially treated as an illegal until you are granted some form of asylum status, asylum seeker status. You're still considered an illegal. And if you are put in a detention center, it is against the law in the United States to put a child in there with you. And this is why the president says, well, if you want to, you know, you got to change the law to do something about this. Well, Barack Obama, blah, blah, blah. Well, Barack Obama didn't enforce the law, is basically what the media is arguing now. Because Barack Obama didn't enforce the law, why doesn't President Trump not enforce the law? You even had Lindsey Graham out there saying all he's got to do is in an instant pick up the phone and call and say, basically tell the border agents, don't enforce the law. That's what they're asking the president to do. But because the images on television, you know, are heart-wrenching, and the idea, even Franklin Graham says the idea of taking the children away from their parents is, I forget the word he used, but unacceptable, let's put it that way. And certainly it is, but who's the one breaking the doggone law? Or who's the one coming here seeking asylum status? Now, if they're actually coming here seeking asylum status, and it's a legitimate reason, they shouldn't be afraid for a few hours to be separated from their children. In a way, they should be happy that they know that the process is going to treat them fairly, that their asylum request is going to reunite them with their children. And if they're lucky, if they're blessed or whatever, if they have a legitimate asylum request, they'll be allowed to stay. But the United States is not responsible for domestic abuse in the world. It's an overwhelming problem. There's no question about it. No question about it. But we can't take in everybody who's being mistreated in the world. We would have to take in probably the world, half the world's population. And I hear women out there saying, yeah, us. And you're right, to a great extent. But the situation on the border, by the way, is getting worse. And part of it's because our economy is doing so well. Illegal immigration is up this year. And it's because we're turning our economy around. We're making America great again. And people want to be here even worse than they ever did, which is once again why we need true border security, so that the people who come here are the people who really want to be here and be American citizens and be a part of our society and who want to contribute to it. And I know a lot of these people who have come here illegally do contribute and in some fashion or another, but a lot of them have set up nice, sweet lives here and never done anything about their illegal status. And like this front page story in Orlando Sentinel, deportation weighs heavily on Polk family, that's Polk County family, talking about Alejandra Juarez, who is scheduled to be deported. She's supposed to report to the immigration office on Thursday. And she's been in this country she's been in this country a long time, actually, as an illegal. She married a naturalized citizen here from Puerto Rico who served in the military in Iraq on a couple of tours of duty. And it appears as though she was a stay-at-home mom. She was stopped in a traffic stop in 2013 when it was discovered that she was here illegally. And on May 21st, 1998 is when she first attempted to come here. And then at some point soon after that, she did gain access to the United States 20 years ago. And she's been here illegally all that time. She knows she's been here illegally all that time, even though she's married to an American citizen. She was just trying to fly under the radar. And that's still illegal. And so now, unfortunately, she's having to pay the consequences, and she's at the mercy of the court. Not that she wouldn't necessarily have been before, but if she had instigated it somehow, perhaps her chances would be better. But once again, all of this now pressure is being put on because the Democrats think either, one, they have a winning election issue, a campaign issue in this, and or two, that they will force the Republicans and the president into signing some watered down version of a compromise bill, which basically grants amnesty. And we'll see what happens. As I said, I like Steve Bannon's notion, and that is that if the president can't get his version of the bill, that we parade it and make it a campaign issue. Give the Democrats what they want on this one. And, this is what got one of the main things that got President Trump elected in 2016. Do you think a lot of attitudes that voted for him since then have changed a lot? I kind of doubt it. But we shall see. Meantime, the mainstream media is trying to portray President Trump's past week as a very bad week for President Trump, at least legally speaking. Why, look at what happened. Why, Paul Manafort is in a jail cell tonight. And yeah, he is. And that's a travesty of justice right there. That's a miscarriage of justice right there in and of itself. Paul Manafort, why he's in jail, and Michael Cohen, why he gonna change his legal team and he gonna flip on the president. Well, he can flip all he wants if he ain't got nothing to offer. And he all comes up with some lies, he's just putting himself in jeopardy. And then there's the IG report. And then the president comes out Friday claiming it exonerated him of the Russia probe. Why, it don't do nothing of the like. Well, in a way, it doggone sure does. Because what it does, what the IG report does do, and we're going to pick this up, and I'm going to tell you who Henry Greenberg is here during this part of the show, or actually after I take this break here in a second, is what the IG report clearly shows is that there was, contrary to the overall conclusion, which, by the way, wasn't necessarily the original conclusion. This was a report that was, shall we say, doctored a little bit by the Justice Department and FBI, and Christopher Wray trying to portray this whole investigation as being unbiased. It was every bit biased. Now, just because the agencies didn't stand up and shout it out to the world doesn't mean it wasn't biased. As a matter of fact, the agencies were probably unaware, the agents were probably unaware of their own bias because of their arrogance and their hubris. That's generally the way it works. But they clearly were. And what this clearly shows at this whole Russia collusion investigation, not only was it based on a hoax, but it is based on a very much politically biased hoax. And that's what this IG report, if it doesn't totally exonerate the president, it sure enough begins the process. And there's more reports coming. In the meantime, I got to take a break. Once again, you are listening to the American Adversaries and watching and listening live on Facebook. Thanks for you folks who are out there doing that. Appreciate it. And the number here in the studio is 407-774-8255. Once again, you can leave messages on Facebook or you can email me at AmericanAdversariesRadio.com, where I'm checking right now and I see that I don't have any tonight. Okay, anyway, so far right now, you can still email me. We'll be right back.
Hey, Central Florida, Dave Ramsey here. When you need advice on your taxes and want to work with someone who has the heart of a teacher, you need to see Larry Herring, CPA. He's one of our tax-endorsed local providers, and he's ready to talk with you about all your income tax needs. Larry Herring will help you manage your taxes just like any other expense. Take it from me, Larry is your guy. 407-647-7777 or at herringcpa.com.
Do you suffer from back pain? Have trouble sleeping? Do you ever wish you could get a truly great night's sleep or have your own massage on demand? For 51 years, Relax and Comfort has helped people sit, sleep, and feel better every day. See why ABC, CBS, and Fox are talking about the new X10 bed. It's the perfect marriage of a Sleep Number bed and a Tempur-Pedic bed. Its cool gel memory foam comfort layers are totally adjustable from ultra soft to ultra firm for each side. Add a zero gravity base and you'll have hundreds of healthy and relaxing positions for you and your partner. Save thousands over the leading national brands. With the sustainable X10 design, you'll never need to buy another bed. Get the world's best adjustable beds and massage chairs at no interest, 0% financing. That's less than $5 a day to own. Relax in Comfort, family owned and operated over 50 years, has stores in Winter Park, Sanford, Windermere, and the Villages. Learn more. Visit relaxandcomfort.com. Call 321-329-3118. That's 321-329-3118.
Welcome back to the show. I love that song. And it's come to life. Yeah, taking away your name, giving you a number. The IG report does just that. It talks about, for instance, Agent 1 and Agent 5 and FBI Attorney 2. They've taken away their names and given us a number in their place. Who wouldn't thunk it, right? Ay, caramba. All right, welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. So the IG report topped off a pretty good week for President Trump, and also legally speaking, I would argue. And the IG report does go a long way to establish the corrupt culture, shall we say, at the FBI. and some parts of the Justice Department, although this report focused primarily on the FBI. They are now currently working on several other reports. The next supposed big one to come out, hopefully fairly soon, will be in about both the FBI and the Department of Justice and how they conducted the Russia collusion investigation. This was to investigate how the FBI, and very little attention was paid to the Department of Justice other than the Loretta Lynch angle of this, but it was primarily how the FBI conducted, or I should say misconducted, the Hillary Clinton investigation into her emails and the server and all of that sort of stuff. The next IG report, big one, will be about the FBI and the Department of Justice and the FISA court business having to do with the Russia and Trump campaign supposed collusion investigation. And presumably it'll contain things about the so-called dossier, Steele dossier, the FISA court requests, and things of that nature. And this is why all of these things are, in their totality, definitely exonerate the president. And just like we knew pretty much most of what, actually we did know, not pretty much, we did know, pretty much, we did know much of what came out, not all, but just about all of what came out in this report this week, this IG report. Now, some of it was speculation on our report, not on our part, but not all of it. Some of what we reported, we knew to be a fact. And what this IG report does is it confirms all of that and kind of puts a beginning and end to that chapter in this big, much bigger story. And that chapter now is going to be combined with this other chapter, which is the next chapter in the book, you might say. The transition from the Hillary Clinton investigation into the Trump-Russia collusion investigation. And the same players being involved in this Strzok and Page. And you'll see some bleed over with their texts and things of that nature. But what these reports are doing is that they are showing the corrupt and the misguided nature, and misguided is a generous and kind term here, corrupt and misguided nature of the FBI primarily and the Justice Department in buying into this collusion nonsense. And once again, I don't doubt in my mind for a second that in most of these individuals involved in this, they actually thought that Trump and the Russians were colluding. Even though they couldn't find any proof of it, they find exactly the opposite of that. As a matter of fact, they find that the Russians, if anything, are colluding with the Hillary Clinton campaign. But they do find some things that cause them to take actions which show that they actually think, these buffoons, that they're onto something there. And I guess, you know, if you live in their world long enough, you become sort of a paranoid schizophrenic. And that's kind of what we see here. It's paranoia is what we see at work here. And by the way, this is why the Russians are so advanced when it comes to messing with us, is that they know that even if they just stand there with a wry smile on their face, the thoughts of paranoia are going to creep into somebody's mind, and all they got to do is let them run with it. And that's what's happened here. And the Russians had to do very little to let loose the forces of paranoia in our society. And the left is, they live on paranoia. They're afraid of everything. They're afraid of the world's going to die. They're afraid that, they were afraid that Trump was going to start a nuclear war. Now they're afraid that he's been too nice to Kim. They're afraid of every doggone thing. The black people are afraid of cops. Well, that's because the media and the left wants them to be. They expect them to be afraid of cops. And if a black person comes along who's not afraid of cops, there's something wrong with that person in their mind, because they live in this world of paranoia. And so The IG report and these other reports, including the one about McCabe that came out first, that was actually the first IG report. That was only about 39 pages, much easier to read than this 500 and some odd page monstrosity. But they both clearly show that there was misconduct going on at the FBI, to say the least, and in some instances, even crimes being committed at the highest levels of the FBI. And all of this bolsters the president's argument that he wasn't the one breaking the rules. He wasn't the one breaking the law. And you're going to get more of the same from the next report. And what this does is it's undermining Herr Mueller's credibility. Whether Herr Mueller is an honest guy or not, at the end of the day, kind of doesn't matter, especially when it comes to politics. Because as we've told you on this show numerous times, and we'll continue to tell you numerous times, in politics, pretty much as in life itself, our perceptions are our reality. They can change sometimes, but that means we now accept a new reality, doesn't it? Yeah, it sure does. So the perception that this is a witch hunt is becoming more and more clear. And the perception that it is an honest, you know, trustworthy law and order investigation is getting dimmer and dimmer, harder to discern. And so the pressure is going to continue to grow on Herr Mueller to, you know, do something or get off the pot. And I don't mean the pot that you smoke. You know what I'm talking about. And maybe he does need, well, never mind. But the bottom line is, and now you're beginning to see even the leadership of the Republican Party. You know, first, of course, it was the president, and then you had Rudy Giuliani recently, and now you got Mitch McConnell. And the voices are going to begin to grow louder and louder. And a lot of it has to do with louder. And a lot of it has to do with something that I said on this show a while back. I might have been a little bit early in saying it, but I still think this phenomena is playing out. And I'll tell you about it when we come back. Got to take a hard break.
With SRN News, I'm Gordon Griffin. The sheriff says at least five people are dead and several others are hurt as an SUV carrying more than a dozen people crashed while fleeing from Border Patrol agents in South Texas. Demet County Sheriff Marion Boyd says that the SUV went out of control at more than 100 miles per hour and overturned on Texas Highway 85, ejecting those inside. Most of the occupants were believed to be living in the country illegally. Authorities say that a number of fistfights broke out at an all-night New Jersey arts festival, and the event was on the verge of being shut down when gunfire erupted, killing a suspect and injuring 22 other people, some critically. Mercer County Prosecutor Angelo Onapri says it appears that several Trenton-area gangs had a dispute at the venue and multiple suspects began shooting at each other. More details at srnnews.com.
For most Floridians, our home is our biggest investment. If you are shopping for a new home, vacation home, investment property, want to remodel your home, or need to refinance your existing home loan, you need the very best mortgage professionals working for you to make your American dream come true. I'm Mariah Lee with Patriot Home Funding. And regardless of your mortgage needs, Patriot Home Funding has just the right loan for you. All of our loan products offer the lowest possible fixed rates. We don't charge annoying and expensive junk fees, and you get the very best service and care from me and the rest of our experienced all-star team. Contact us today for a quick, easy, and free pre-qualification. You can call us at 877-377-8123 or visit us on the web at myphf.com. At Patriot Home Funding, we finance the American dream.
Patriot Home Funding is a licensed mortgage broker in the state of Florida. NMLS 171699 and is an equal housing lender.
The news stories are alarming. Sexual assault, violence, workers' comp fraud, and drug abuse. And it's happening in the workplace. Last year, a construction worker in Central Florida attacked his boss with a front-end loader and almost buried him alive. And the Pulse nightclub shooter worked as a security guard for a company that knew he was mentally unstable. Hi, I'm Kathy Santomassino with ASAP Programs. If you're a business owner or manager, it's your responsibility to safeguard safeguard your employees. Did you know a company can be held liable if an employee does harm to someone? Negligent hiring can result in a company being sued, especially if that company didn't conduct a thorough background check. With Applicant 360 Screening Solutions, you will be able to effectively screen your job applicants and make smarter hiring choices. Don't base your decision on a first impression and a resume. Call me today at 407-702-9511. Call 407-702-9511.
It's political, professional wrestling at its finest. The American Adversaries on 660 WORL and on 1520 The Biz.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. Once again, thanks for tuning in. We're halfway through the Sunday evening three-hour classic tour, and I appreciate y'all taking it with us this evening. Once again, I am Christopher Hart. Jeff Sinis is on the bridge. I just had him come into the studio briefly so folks could see him on Facebook.
Yeah, because you can't see me.
You can't see me. That's right. The attitude adjustment. Anyway, Jeff is on the bridge, 407-774-8255. And Jeff has been with us since day one, since we've been doing this Sunday night show, coming up on 8 years. And he's always doing an excellent job. Great job.
My pleasure, Chris.
Yeah. Aubrey Khan is not with us tonight. Yeah. And he is with one of his three beautiful daughters celebrating Father's Day. Once again, happy Father's Day to all you pops out there. All right, and by the way, you can now also watch and listen to us live on Facebook, and I appreciate those of you who are doing so. Got some great messages from Michelle, Tricia, Tom, and Steve, who's listening from Indiana. Howdy. And a lot of other folks, so I appreciate that. We really enjoy that. Once again, tomorrow we are going to unveil, as it were, the name of our camera. Rush Fuzzbo has his Ditto Cam. Well, we got our something cam. All right. So tomorrow, tune in to find out more about that. And by the way, Abe Katzman, once again, will be joining us live from Jerusalem tomorrow. And our man John Barros is going to be in with us as well and bearing good news, as he always does. And, of course, by the way, while we're at it, Tuesday is Trump 2020 Club Tuesday, and Randy will be in. And Wednesday, Sidney Powell is going to join us to discuss this IG report. Just one thing about Randy Ross. Yeah, he is the founder of the Trump 2020 Club and regular now on our show. And he's also running for the vice chair of the Orange County Republican Executive Committee. Now, I know it's a very small group of people who are on the committee who are eligible to vote, and but it's likely that some of you are out there listening tonight. And if so, if I could vote, I would vote for Randy. He's a hardworking guy. He's done a lot for the Trump campaign and as an extension for Orange County Republicans. And he would work very hard. I don't know anybody who works harder than Randy. And he also has been right out front and the outreach to the Hispanic community, and in particular the folks coming here from Puerto Rico because of the storm and setting up residence here. And he's been a welcoming force in this community, and he would do a great job as the vice chair of the Orange County Republican Executive Committee. So just consider that when you make your vote tomorrow, those of you who are eligible to vote. For the rest of us, Randy will let us know on Tuesday when he comes in. And also, 1 week from today, that's the 24th, at 10 a.m. at Pastor Paula White's church up here in Apopka, the Today Show is going to be there taping for a segment of their program. And we're looking to have a number of as many folks to come out to be a part of this as possible. And Randy's put out a call to the folks in the Trump 2020 Club, and I want to broaden that call to anybody out there who would like to take in her service that Sunday morning. Please go to Trump 2020 Club on Facebook to find out more details about it. Or you can just show up at her church on Sunday morning And that's the New Destiny Christian Center at 505 McCormick Road here in Apopka. New Destiny Christian Center, 505 McCormick Road here in Apopka. And no doubt today will be, the Today Show will be interested in what keeps us going. So we want to get out there and let them know. All right, Secret Agent Man. We found another one. All right. Henry Greenberg's name has popped up. And don't even know if Henry Greenberg is actually the dude's name. And this has to do with Roger Stone. Now, Roger Stone, most of you out there know who I'm talking about. Roger Stone is a muckraker in politics from way back, and he makes no bones about it. He worked for George H.W. Bush. He's worked for numerous politicians throughout the years. And his specialty is getting dirt on opposing politicians. And that's why I say he's a muckraker. And so he does it proudly. He does, as I said, he makes no bones about it. And he was very, very loosely, and that's a even probably misleading term, related to the Trump campaign in 2016. He in fact, didn't work for the Trump campaign, but he was a Trump supporter. And he was doing things on Twitter and you know, making speeches and appearances where he was supporting President Trump and saying things about Hillary Clinton that could be construed to be in support of President Trump simply by the very nature that they would be either against or exposing something about Hillary Clinton. His name got tied in with the WikiLeaks release, even though WikiLeaks did not release things to him, and then him released them to Trump and to the public. He got them when everybody else got them. Somehow the media has been able to twist that he and WikiLeaks were tied together and colluding with the Russians and the Trump campaign. This past week, as I said, Roger Stone was in town. He had made an announcement that he was going to make an announcement here in Orlando. And evidently the announcement that he made, and I was not at the event, and I must admit I have not spoken with anybody else who was at the event. And if he didn't talk about this Wednesday, it has come out somehow that Henry Greenberg, a guy by the name of Henry Green, that went by the name, I should say, of Henry Greenberg, contacted Roger Stone and offered for $2 million dirt on Hillary Clinton. And when asked about this by, you know, because Stone has been interrogated or questioned, interviewed, however you want to put it, by the Herr Mueller witch hunt gang, when asked about this, he said he didn't remember having a meeting with this guy known as Henry Greenberg. And let's see, I'm now reading from a story by Jacqueline Thompson of The Hill. Former Trump campaign advisor Roger Stone said that he met with a Russian man during the 2016 campaign who wanted President Trump to pay $2 million for damaging information on Hillary Clinton. The Washington Post reported today that Stone met with the man in May 2016 in a meeting set up by Trump campaign ad Michael Caputo. The meeting was previously unreported and follows Stone's denials that he had any contact with Russians during the campaign. Stone told the Post that the man had requested Trump pay $2 million for dirt on Clinton, but that Stone rejected the offer. This is what Stone told the Russians. He said, "You don't understand Donald Trump. He doesn't pay for anything." Special Counsel Robert Mueller, Herr Mueller, is now investigating the meeting, Caputo told the Post. Both Stone and Caputo, who did not reveal the interaction to congressional investigators, alleged that the man, who called himself Henry Greenberg, was an FBI informant. The Post reported that records do not indicate that Greenberg was an FBI informant. Documents do show, however, that he has stated that he worked as an informant for the agency in the past, but that he said he stopped working with the FBI about 2013. Greenberg denied to the Post that what he was working on behalf of the FBI during the meeting. And then Caputo says this about Greenberg. He says, if you believe that Greenberg took time off from his long career as an FBI informant to reach out to us in his spare time, I have a bridge in Brooklyn that I want to sell you. And they said both Stone and Caputo said that they did not recall the meeting during their testimony, and said he only recalled a phone conversation with Greenberg as he prepped for an interview with Special Counsel Mueller's team and discussed it during his questioning. Now, if a guy comes up to you and says his name is Henry Greenberg and that he works for the FBI, is your first thought or any thought really going to be that he's working with the Russians? I mean, Greenberg... Henry Greenberg doesn't sound much like a Russian derivative to me. Doesn't sound much like a Russian name. What would be, say, the equivalent of Henry Greenberg in Russian, I wonder? I'm at a loss. Help me out. What would be a Russian version of Henry Greenberg? Henry Greenberg. And I think, and the reason Stone mentioned this is because of this other stuff coming out about this guy Halper and perhaps other spies being used as bait. Because what Roger Stone says is he thought it was a sting. Now, looking in retrospect, he thought it was a sting where they were trying to trap him. They were trying to trap him doing something that he probably knew he shouldn't do. And at the end of the day, Trump wasn't going to pay $2 million for it anyway. Not when he can get what he needs on Twitter and Facebook. Right? Why pay $2 million? It reminds me of an episode of the Beverly Hillbillies where a couple of people try to swindle the Clampets out of some money. And they have a young girl who's supposedly Adeline something from back in the Tennessee hills. And she puts on a little bathing suit, which back in those days was a big bathing suit. Or back in today's standards is a big bathing suit. But back then, you know, one piece. And she's up in her room in the Clampett mansion there. And Jed comes up to tell her, you know, come down for whatever. And she answers the door and she has this cuckoo clock that secretively takes pictures of Jed at the door, and she makes the photographs look like Jed's trying to get in and molest her or something, right? And so they take these pictures, they get them developed, and they go down to Drysdale at the bank, and they say, we want so much money, you know, are we going to release these pictures to the paper? So Drysdale and the secretary go over to Miss Hathaway, go over to the Clampett mansion and sit down with the Clampetts, and they're telling them, and if we don't pay this money, the pictures would come out in the newspaper tomorrow. And Jed goes, oh, well, there's an idea. We'll just wait and buy the newspaper. Ay, caramba, this stuff can't get any better. Got to take another break. Henry Greenberg, who would have thunk that Henry Greenberg is a Russian spy? All right, we got more from the American Adversaries on a Sunday evening 3-hour classic tour. Hope you like what you're seeing and hearing on Facebook. We'll be right back.
Business owners, this is for you. Competition is tough these days, so you need maximum visibility to stand out in this crowded landscape, and Dino Rento Studios can give you that visibility. Their eye-catching signs, 3D displays, banners, bumper stickers, and car magnets will get your business the attention you're looking for. Dino will also make your convention display the talk of the event. So call Dino Rento Studios at 800-704-7089, 800-704-7089, or visit them at DinoRentosStudios.com. Dino, R-E-N-T-O-S, Studios.com, where they bring ideas to life.
Nearly everyone loves Italian food.
But those people who love true, authentic Italian go to Cafe Positano. It's because owner and chef Pasquale Barba offers home-cooked food from his hometown, Positano, Italy. He is Italian. Local fresh items are combined with rare ingredients imported only from Italy, along with generations-old family recipes. Whether it's pizza or those delicious daily specials, taste for yourself at Cafe Positano, 4 miles west of I-4 on 436. 407-774-8080, the most authentic Italian food in Central Florida.
Money, 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 money.
$2 million for dirt on Hillary Clinton when there's plenty of it in pretty much every day's newspaper released back during the campaign. Welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. You are listening to the American Adversary Sunday evening 3-hour classic tour. Don't forget, when we finish up here at 8 o'clock, you got another 3 hours of great live radio with Mark Walters and Armed American Radio and his great team. 407-774-8255 is the number if you'd like to join in on the show. And once again, this IG report and all this stuff, and now Henry Greenberg. Here's the interesting thing about this Henry Greenberg business, okay? So Henry Greenberg evidently wanted a meeting with somebody that he could sell supposedly information that he had to the Trump campaign. Well, first of all, he didn't have it. Second of all, he says he worked for the FBI. Now, the FBI says he didn't. But who's been doing most of the lying here lately? And it's quite possible that he was one of these special, what they call them, special employees or something like that, that don't officially work for the FBI, but they're informants. Kind of like this guy, Mateen, the father of the Pulse nightclub terrorist. Turned out he had been the father of the Pulse nightclub terrorist, had been working for the FBI. We found that out in the trial of his daughter-in-law, who was acquitted. The father of the nightclub terrorist working for the FBI. And the FBI didn't bother to mention to tell anybody about that, except it had to come out in the trial in testimony by an FBI agent. And so you got to wonder, you know, what kind of lies, at least of omission, we get from the FBI. So maybe somebody forgot. Maybe they know Henry Greenberg's real name and therefore, technically speaking, no, Henry Greenberg never worked for the FBI, but Vasily Grinichevich did. Right? Vasily Grigiskowski or whatever. He did. But Henry Greenberg? No, we never heard of Henry Greenberg over here to the FBI. Not officially speaking. And so this is all, once again, the people in the deep state don't like all this exposure going on. They're a bunch of cockroaches and rats. They don't like it when you flip the lights on. And this is what's going on. Now we know Henry Greenberg, right? And in his supposed role in all of this. And so the pressure, as I said, is building on Herr Mueller and to begin the process of wrapping this up. Now, they're resisting it, but I guarantee you the pressure is building in Washington, D.C. that, look, this is looking worse and worse. You know, we got to end this. And it's not because they have any sympathy for President Trump. Believe me, they do not. It is because they do not like the light. They do not like the exposure. It's like when you go to heaven, if you're there simply because you said the right words to so you could squeak in through the door, you're going to be blinded by the light of people who are true in their faith. You'll be blind. You won't be able to be with them. You'll be there, but you won't be able to be with people who, and I don't want to use the word more pure than you, maybe more worthy is the right word. And it's the same thing here. People who operate in the darkness do not like the light.
And when they are exposed to the light, they try to minimize that exposure. And I do believe that, we're seeing the vestiges of that, and we'll begin to see more of it in Washington, D.C. And Rudy Giuliani is doing his efforts to put the pressure on them as well. But at the end of the day, I think the pressure, the real pressure to end this nonsense will come from within. Because as I said, you know, they don't like the exposure. And they feel like they can't do their jobs right with all this exposure. And now efforts, similar efforts to do the same thing that they have done to Trump, even to Hillary Clinton, are jeopardized in the future because they've been exposed. And by the way, mentioning Hillary Clinton here, and I've heard, you know, I've actually seen a little bit of this. You even actually saw it with old Shifty Adam Schiff today on, I can't remember, I think it was Fake the Nation. But anyway, one of the Sunday morning shows where he was talking about the IG report, and he was talking about how it exposed how they screwed over Hillary Clinton. And they did. James Comey did screw over Hillary Clinton because it wasn't his job. It wasn't his responsibility. As a matter of fact, it was against the law for him to expose for public consumption any details of an investigation into her unless or until she's indicted and it goes to court. And it doesn't matter the outcome of the investigation. And certainly not when it's an ongoing investigation, like in October. The Clinton people have every right, as much as President Trump and his folks, his supporters, us, they have every right to be just as mad as we are at the FBI. And I hope they are, and many of them are. They should be. They should be outraged. As I've said on the show numerous times, July 5th, 2016, when Comey came out and he gave the litany of charges and of the status of investigation and then turned around and said no prosecutor, you know, would take this case, he broke the law. He violated, whether you like it or not, he violated Hillary Clinton's privacy. She, like every other American citizen, has the right to privacy when it comes to an ongoing investigation. Whether it's opened or closed doesn't matter. She has that right to privacy. Now, I think Donald Trump was going to beat her anyway. I don't think it would have mattered. But they do. And I can see why. I can see every bit why. So they have every right and every reason to be angry, just as angry at lying, leaking, thieving Jim Boy Comey and everything that's come out of this. And here's the thing, though. The shame is that we should be finding in this a unifying force. That we're all against, should be against what happened, both to Hillary Clinton and to Donald J. Trump. Because both individuals have been screwed over by the same cadre of corrupt individuals in the FBI and the Justice Department. And it doesn't even really matter if Obama was involved or not. The end result is what matters, you see? And that is that both candidates, and unfortunately, we've for the most part, and when I say we, I mean conservative and liberal commentators, are in this sort of bidding war where, no, they screwed me over more, they screwed my person over more than they screwed your person over. Right? That's kind of where we're at. No, they screwed Trump over more than Hillary. Because still going. No, they screwed Hillary more than they screwed Trump because it cost her the election. Well, at the end of the day, let's quit the bidding war and just get right down to the fact of the matter is. And that is that this corrupt bunch of arrogant people full of hubris and full of themselves and self-righteousness and all this sanctimony, and all of that self-righteous sanctimony, they managed to screw all of us over. And I might say themselves in the process, because they certainly have not come out of this scot-free, and it ain't over yet. And whether they are indicted or not, hopefully if their law is broken, they should be indicted. Comey's case should be indicted. in McCabe's case, should be indicted. In the other's cases, not quite so sure, because the evidence isn't as clear yet. But certainly, as this report that came out the other day, disciplinary action is required. And a number of them have lost their jobs. That doesn't mean they're going to go broke like Michael Flynn, but maybe they will. But certainly their lives have been radically changed by all of this, and they brought it on themselves. And nobody's come out of this, you know, unnicked, uncut up by it. Everybody has been negatively affected by it, which is why we should all get together and say we're sick and tired of this and we want it cleaned up. And we don't want some whitewashing by some guy like Christopher Wray, who started the process the day that the report came out, Thursday. By the way, he and Horowitz will be testifying tomorrow and Tuesday, I believe, in both the House and the Senate regarding this latest version of the IG's ongoing work, the so-called IG report. So perhaps more details will come out tomorrow and Tuesday. We shall see. It should be make for some interesting television. I'm sure that the hearings will be broadcast live on most, if not all, of the cable TV, Fox, CNN, and MSNBC, maybe even Fox Business Channel. We shall see. But we do know this, though, that the original report that Horowitz wrote, that there were some changes made before it was released to the public. So perhaps we'll find out some inkling of what those changes were, although I wouldn't hold my breath on that. They probably wouldn't have made the changes if they wanted people to know what they were, right? Right? So we shall see, though. In the meantime, we'll take another break. It's got 2 hours in, another hour to go with our Sunday evening 3-hour classic tour. Once again, thanks for all you folks who are out there watching and listening live on Facebook. I'll be checking those messages during the break as well. And Kathy Santomassino and Sunny, our California gorgeous lady of wrestling, will be joining us in the next hour of the show as well. And don't forget, not only are we on Facebook, that's American Adversaries on Facebook, but please check out the Trump 2020 Club page on Facebook as well. We'll be right back for more of the American Adversaries Sunday evening 3-hour classic tour.
In a time when all seemed lost, a voice rose from the wilderness, a voice rooted in our unique form of government, a confident voice filled with hope and inspiration that grows louder and louder while articulating the truth for all to hear. It is the voice to be reckoned with. It is the American Adversaries Radio Show, featuring your host, political scholar and philosopher Christopher Hart, co-host South African-American patriot Aubrey Kahn, News Talk Divas Kathy Santomassino and Patricia Summerlin, and more. Now, sit back and enjoy the American Adversaries.
If you have not been listening, welcome back to the show. If you have been listening, thanks so much in any case for tuning in to the American Adversaries as we are entering the third hour of our Sunday evening 3-hour classic tour. Once again, you can now also not only just listen to us on AM660TheAnswer.com or FM 105.5 and AM 660 here in the Central Florida area, but you can now, like Steve is doing in Indiana, watch and listen to us live anywhere on Facebook. And all you folks who are listening and watching on Facebook, and thanks for your compliments. I appreciate that. All right, that's American Adversaries on Facebook. And the person who normally is putting stuff on our Facebook page when we're not doing the live broadcast is in the studio with me now, Kathy Santomassino.
Hey, Chris. Normal. I don't know what that is.
Most of us around here do not. I am Christopher Hart. Jeff Sinis is on the bridge. And do we have Sunny on the line? Okay, he's getting her on the line right now. I see he's on the line with her himself. And we'll be bringing her on to the show here in a moment. By the way, once again, Aubrey Kahn is not in the studio with us tonight because he's having dinner with one of his three beautiful daughters. And so happy Pops Day to Aubrey and all you fathers out there. We appreciate all of you and listening and, well, being fathers. All right, I do now see that we have our California gorgeous lady of wrestling live with us coming from California, Patricia Summerlin. Sunny, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. How are you, Chris?
Excellent, excellent. So tell
us, happy Father's Day to everyone out there and to Aubrey Kahn. And I guess Nostradamus isn't going to be on.
No, he's Father's Day for him, too. He's got two beautiful daughters.
Wonderful, wonderful. So we all have two beautiful daughters.
I guess so. Yeah. All right. I got Kathy with me here. She's got a couple questions for you. But first, I need to ask you, what were you doing last week that was so important that you couldn't be on our show?
Oh, my goodness. Well, it's so important that it was a script reading for our Afterglow musical stage play that will start at the end of September.
I'm sorry. You need to turn those headphones down. All right. I'm sorry. It's Kathy's changing her headphones out here. We just got a little feedback. All right.
Okay.
So I'm sorry. So you've got a play you guys are going to do? Is that what you just said?
Yes. This is our first musical Afterglow stage play. And we were doing a script reading.
Now, where is this going to be? Where are you going to perform it? In Los Angeles?
Yes, it will be. The first one will be in West Hollywood.
Now, does this have anything to do with what you guys are working on with William Shatner?
We are no longer working with William
Shatner. Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. That didn't pan out?
No, there's so much to tell. Yeah, better things are happening, though. So since that was axed, we're on to bigger and better things, and we will have an Afterglow series for television. That's in the works currently, too. And it's going to be so fun, so funny. I can't even tell you, but the musical will be live and it will be with us five Glow Girls, myself, Dallas, MTV, Eileen, MTV, Matilda the Hun, and Roxy Astor.
Oh, wow. That ought to be fantastic.
It's going to be so much fun. And it's about our real life, a little bit of the 80s reality, some things that affected our lives at that time that Glow was on. It takes you through the process and to the ending of Glow. And then there will be featuring five drag queens that will play, here's the catch, us as younger girls in Glow.
God.
So this will be quite interesting, but it's going to be Psycho the Musical, which is out currently. That is the director that will be directing our musical. That is Christopher G. Garver. Amazing, amazing director for these musicals.
Kathy saw something about the Netflix thing the other day.
Yes, Sunny. I was watching a talk show, and there was a gentleman who was the producer of Glow on Netflix talking about you guys. And I was going to switch channels, and the backdrop was all you girls in the 80s with your big hair.
Uh-huh.
And he was talking about how successful the series is on Netflix. Do you want to elaborate on that? What's going on with that?
Well, that's interesting because I missed that, and it's a shame. I mean, we're happy again. Here's the thing. Second season Glow Netflix. The characters are great, but they're actresses. They're not us. And however, they're getting all the fame and money, and they're playing our character as a mesh-up of three of us in one, rolled up in one, just so they, you know, we don't get a part of that fame. However, it's bringing us back to the forefront since we are the original Glow Girls.
Well, can't you get royalties?
Are just actresses portraying us and nothing, or I should say portraying multiple Glow Girls in one.
I want to say something about the brand because it sounds like he hijacked the brand, but you're not getting any royalties for them copycatting your life. And isn't there kind of a legal issue there?
There is, and, you know, there could be a class action lawsuit. However, it's going to take a lot for all of us girls to get together and do that. We just think the best revenge is our success. And
that,
as the original Glow Girls, to bring back Afterglow, we'll just pin that away. Like, wait a minute, the original Glow Girls are here, and they're back with a vengeance.
Right. You know what you need to do,
like
Sonny?
That, but it's going to be amazing. We're going to blow the Netflix out of the water.
I have an idea. Why don't you do a series like the Golden Girls, but the Glow Girls now, 25 years later?
Funny,
and you're in a retirement home, and you're
Come on now.
No, but you're all hip. You're all hip chicks. You know, you're retired chicks. You're all successful.
Let's don't go pushing it a little too far.
Yeah, but I think that would be really funny, sort of like a sitcom.
Well, is that kind of what you're doing?
Well, that is what we're doing. It will be a series, just like the Glow on Netflix, but it's going to be based on us girls now, and it's going to be hilarious. I was thinking about doing the Glowden Girls, which would be like the Golden Girls, you know, the Glowden Glamours
yes.
or something, but
right.
I think we're going to wait for that one, hopefully in another 20 years.
maybe,
that would be more appropriate. Of us are still in our, some girls are still in their 40s, so they probably wouldn't take too kindly to that, but,
right.
you know,
right.
yeah.
Well, who knows? Betty White might still be around and be a part of the show,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, look at her. She's almost 100.
I know. She's
something else, I tell you what.
She is. Hey. But you know what, Kathy? That's a great idea. I like that.
Hey,
okay.
By the way.
I'll be your agent.
By the way.
You get first shot.
Right. And you'll get royalties from me.
Thank you. I like that.
By the way, it's a very similar situation. I'm not joking here. It's a very similar situation to the Rocky movie.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, several of the Rocky movies, because they were based on the life of Chuck Wepner, the Bayoun Bleeder.
It's a true story.
Bayoun Bleeder, right. Both the Rocky one and then the one where Hulk Hogan is in it as Thunder Lips. Because,
that's right.
Because Wepner wrestled, I think it was Andre the Giant, and the Giant or whoever picked him up and threw him out. And that idea, sure enough, shows up in the movie. Right.
Yeah, isn't that something? And speaking of movies, I do want to give a shout out for Fulvio Cesari, who's doing a wonderful, amazing movie called 350 Days, and it premieres July 12th, and that's the release date, July 12th, and it will be in selected theaters. So everyone, get your tickets. Go to fathomevents.com. We will be there on the red carpet. This event is all surrounding wrestlers and the wrestling business, and it's basically Legends, Champions, and Survivors, and it's featuring Ox Baker, J.J. Dillon, Marty Jannetty, Farmer Pete.
Wow.
It goes on and on. This is going to be compared to The Wrestler, which The Wrestler was a hit with Mickey Rourke.
Right.
This hopefully will be, you know, with much success, far better.
Yeah, let's hope so.
And I love both of these gentlemen. They're amazing men. So, hey, you know, get your tickets. Again, it's in selected theaters. I believe it's going to be premiering in New York and other theaters as well. So,
yeah. We used to watch Ox Baker. He, along with Dusty Rhodes and Harley Race and them, wrestled on Championship Wrestling from Florida, Gordon Soley from Tampa. And only he didn't go by Ox Baker. He went by Ox Baker!
Exactly. Oh, I love that, Chris. That was good.
All right. Speaking of people who walk around wearing very little clothes sometimes, Kathy has a question for you here.
Yes, honey. You know, Miss America has been restyled, for lack of a better word. And as you know, Gretchen Carlson got her millions.
I would say ruined.
Well, Gretchen Carlson got her millions of dollars from Fox for that sexual assault lawsuit, as you remember.
Right.
I guess she took her money and ran to be the director of the Miss America pageant. And now they decided they're going to kind of tone it down to more of more of a
100%.
For lack of a better terminology.
Or the evening gown competition.
Right. Mind over matter. You know, more like the mind than the matter. So the women are going to not wear their bathing suits and their pageant gowns. And I think they're all going to sit around the campfire and just talk about the Me Too movement. I'm not really sure where they're going with this, but I think they've really put a nail in the coffin of the America beauty pageant as we know it, like Mom's Apple Pie. What are your thoughts on kind of toning down the female physique now for something a little more
boring?
Intellectual.
I have to agree with that because coming from my background is, you know, you guys know I was a swimsuit model.
Right.
And graced some covers and was blessed to do that and then featured in Playboy. So I guess there's no shame in my game about being beautiful and smart and having a nice physique, if you will, or sexy. And that's also in the eyes of the beholder because, again, it goes back to whatever, you know, people like. But this is going to be, I think, quite boring and will take a lot of the ratings down because most of the, let's face it, most of the men tune in. I don't think they even really care who's Miss America.
No.
But they watch.
I have to confess.
Let's face it, guys. How many, I bet if they were on a room and raise their hand, they want to watch the bikini contest.
Exactly.
You know, but yeah, they're going to tone it down. And now what they're going to do is put these girls in front of the judges and they're going to have nice conversations about their achievements and goals.
Boring.
In life. And their evening gown will be pulled out for whatever they choose to wear, which I find interesting. So it's whatever they choose to wear. So they still can, I believe, wear a bikini out there. It's up to them. That's their freedom there of whatever they choose to wear. I do like the meeting of the minds because, again, achievements and goals are positive, and this is what we stand for. But I do think it's going to be a shame to pull out that and now call it a competition rather than a pageant.
Right. And the ratings are going to
go in the town toilet.
Sink.
Oh yeah.
Let me ask you two women because it you talk about men watching this. It seems to me most women who watch it, they want to see these girls in gowns and bathing suits too, don't they?
Yeah, I love the evening gown segment of the competition anyway because
I ran
for a beauty pageant here in Orlando. Actually, the last century, but when Clinton was president.
It wasn't that long ago.
Okay, it was a long time ago. And I enjoyed all the, I don't know, the pageantry, the glamour. Well, it was fun being in a pageant. And I have to say, it does develop not only backbone, but it develops your, how can I put
self-esteem.
It?
Self-esteem.
Yeah, your self-esteem, and,
sure.
And just your...
You see, what confuses me is why not have both? Instead, she didn't have to take something away from the pageant to add this new element. It's like she was going to replace something with something. To me, all she had to do was add the new element to it and to enhance the whole experience. Because the beauty pageant, face it, it's a celebration of that which we consider to be beautiful, which is primarily the woman's body.
Part of the American lexicon. I mean, we created the beauty pageant, right? And I don't know if you all remember Bess Meyerson, who was Miss American, I think, 1947. She wore a bathing suit, and back then it was very provocative, but it was a springboard for a lot of women to get scholarship money, to go to college, or to get advanced degrees, and in a way, a lot of these women were able to get into the workforce and compete with men on a level playing field, whereas now, it's sort of...
Well, just look at Gretchen Carlson.
Yeah.
Just look at Gretchen Carlson.
Yeah.
Gretchen Carlson herself is an example of what you're talking about.
Exactly.
Right?
Look what it did for her, and then, of course, the lawsuit.
Okay,
and all that.
Sonny, I just have time for one more question.
Sure.
Robert De Niro at the Tony Awards last week. You know, it's one thing for him to stand up there and say F Trump and everything, but it's another thing for him to get a standing ovation.
I know, not surprising, though, because that's the Hollywood crowd. That's the ones that, you know, dislike Trump. So the more he, you know, I guess the F-bomb this and that and whatever foul language, he's up there with Roseanne and as far as the opposite spectrum. But he gets the applause and Roseanne gets barred. No pun intended.
No pun intended, right.
Yeah, you know, I thought it was horrible. And I like Robert De Niro as an actor, and it's sad that he actually takes his character all the way to the podium at the Tony Awards and it was unscripted. That's
remember,
for sure, unplanned,
remember the movie Sonny, Anger Management? I think he's literally turned that art form into
a business.
A reality, so. Oh,
yeah.
Of course.
He's very opinionated about Trump.
Poor Trump. I mean, he just,
he can't win.
From all
Yeah, he can. He's been doing that.
Well, not with the Hollywood elites, he can't.
Well, here's the key to it, though, you see. And more people on the left are beginning to realize this. That every time somebody like De Niro goes out and does something like that, it actually helps Donald Trump.
Definitely.
Of course it does. It's bringing more attention. As we say, any bad or good, you know, hey, at least they're talking.
Yep.
And Trump has got that. And everything else, though, he's making a walking, as we say. It's working. I like it. I like the peace he's making with Mr., as I say, sing-along. I mean, the peace talks are happening.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, with Kim. Absolutely.
Yes, that's right.
Yep. All right. Well, listen, we got to go, but thanks so much for being with us. We missed you last week, but thanks for being with us. And it's a great thing that is going on with the gorgeous ladies of wrestling. It's real exciting. And,
hey, we're all champions in the ring. Come on, ladies. Let's all join in. This is going to be a great time for all of us, you know. And also, go get your tickets for this 350 Days of the Movie. It's going to be awesome.
Do it. We'll do it. Thanks, Sonny.
Thank you.
Thanks,
bye,
Sonny.
Bye, Chris. Have a wonderful sunny week.
You will do it. You do
okay.
The same.
Bye-bye.
All right. Okay, we'll take a break and come back with more of the American Adversaries and some odd stories. It's Sunday, time for Sunday's Odd Stories with Kathy Santomassino. And once again, thanks for all you folks watching and messaging us on Facebook. We really are gratified by that. Seems like Sunday night is the hot night on Facebook, isn't it?
It is. That's because I'm here.
Ooh, well, we only live twice around here. We'll be right back.
You only live twice.
Hey, Central Florida, Dave Ramsey here. When you need advice on your taxes and want to work with someone who has the heart of a teacher, you need to see Larry Herring, CPA. He's one of our tax-endorsed local providers, and he's ready to talk with you about all your income tax needs. Larry Herring will help you manage your taxes just like any other expense. Take it from me, Larry is your guy. 407-647-7777 or at herringcpa.com.
Do you suffer from back pain? Have trouble sleeping? Do you ever wish you could get a truly great night's sleep or have your own massage on demand? For 51 years, Relax and Comfort has helped people sit, sleep, and feel better every day. See why ABC, CBS, and Fox are talking about the new X10 bed. It's the perfect marriage of a Sleep Number bed and a Tempur-Pedic bed. Its cool gel memory foam comfort layers are totally adjustable from ultra soft to ultra firm for each side. Add a zero gravity base and you'll have hundreds of healthy and relaxing positions for you and your partner. Save thousands over the leading national brands. With the sustainable X10 design, you'll never need to buy another bed. Get the world's best adjustable beds and massage chairs at no interest, 0% financing. That's less than $5 a day to own. Relax in Comfort, family owned and operated over 50 years, has stores in Winter Park, Sanford, Windermere, and the Villages. Learn more, visit relaxandcomfort.com. Call 321-329-3118. That's 321-329-3118.
All right, it's time once again for us to venture into the Twilight Zone and get some of the more odd, not that most of what we don't talk about around here isn't odd enough, but here's the more odd stories, you might say. Kathy Santomassino.
Well, you know, it's Father's Day, and if you still haven't bought your dad that special gift, you need to listen up. A swanky Houston hotel is offering a special pampering package for Father's Day that costs only $25,000 and includes a stay in the presidential suite. The Post Oak Hotel said the one-of-a-kind Father's Day package includes a one-night stay in the 5,000-square-foot presidential suite. It's not the Trump suite, however. A private cabana by the pool, a one-hour massage for Dad and his guest, seats at a Houston Astros game, a $500 bar tab, and either a dinner prepared by a private chef in the suite or dinner for six at Mastro's Steakhouse or Willie G's Seafood. The package also includes a helicopter ride from the airport to the hotel if the dad in question is arriving from out of town. The hotel is also offering a comparatively thrifty $2,000 package that includes a night at the hotel, a Scotch on the Rocks pedicure. You need this one, Chris.
Oh, boy.
A private whiskey or beer tasting, and a pair of whiskey cocktail men's loafers by Stubbs and Wooten from 29 Inch North Boutique. I've never heard of this place, but I'm sure it's a very swanky place. 29 Inch North.
Okay.
In Houston. Okay.
All right.
What do you think? Ready to sign up?
I was going to say, I doubt many dads are going to be treated at that hotel.
I would say.
And about this private, what do you say, a private cabana by the pool?
A private cabana by the pool.
Doesn't that kind of defeat the purpose of going down to a pool?
No, because you have a one-hour massage with your guest, and that could be any number of people, who knows?
Well, for that price, I would hope that they would provide a guest
you would
of your
think
suit.
A female escort, maybe?
Or male, depending. Well, I guess, yeah. Well, I don't know.
There you go.
In this day and age.
Anything goes if you have 25,000 clams.
Oh, boy.
Well, if you're short on cash this Father's Day, how about this? Kraft is auctioning off the perfect gift for the cheesy dad who has everything. A custom cheese sculpture of his head. The food giant, known for its wide range of cheese products, posted an auction on eBay offering a custom cheese sculpture of your cheesy great dad for Father's Day. The auction, which ended last Tuesday, gave the top five bidders the opportunity to submit photos of their dads to be transformed into cheese sculptures by bona fide cheese artists. The auction's description explains the traditional correlation between fatherhood and cheese. Odds are most dads have exhibited cheesy behavior from time to time. I thought of my dad, Chris, and he deserves the award for cheesiest dad probably of the decade.
Yeah.
Remember leisure suits?
Oh, yeah.
Well, my dad had one in every color under the rainbow.
Oh, God.
But he would wear a tie with his. And the leisure suit was designed to wear without a tie. Do you have a story similar?
No.
Can you get a visual of that?
No.
Okay.
I'd prefer not to. I'm surprised, though, that somebody hasn't come up with a cheese bust or sculpture of President Trump.
Well,
given the so-called, you know, orange nature
well,
color.
Well, Donald Jr. probably didn't even think of that, right?
I don't know if it would have been appreciated.
Well, attention, all fat cats, and I'm not referring to the D.C. politicians. A 29-pound cat, referred to as Chubbs, arrived at the Humane Society in Pasadena, California recently after being brought in by a Good Samaritan. Chubbs, a 10-year-old Himalayan mix, was found taking an afternoon walk down a busy street. The Pasadena Humane Society noted that the cat was in need of grooming, which took hours to complete due to painful mats along his back. Chubbs is currently living inside staff office space due to his weight, which prevents him from fitting into a kennel. Chubbs is available for adoption and is also looking for a diet doctor.
Well, how does a cat living on the street get to be 29 pounds?
Handouts?
I guess.
Boy, I don't
know. He must have been hitting everybody in the neighborhood.
He had a lot of friends, probably.
I guess so. All right, we'll take a break and come back. We got another half hour to go, and then you got 3 hours of live radio following us on these radio stations and internet signal, not on our Facebook page, obviously. That's Armed American Radio with Mark Walters, and I'm sure Walters, and I'm sure he will be talking about these deputies that were killed in Kansas City this week and how nobody else is talking about them, and that is such a tragedy. In the meantime, you are listening to the American Adversaries. We're coming right back.
With SRN News, I'm Gordon Griffin. Authorities say that a number of fistfights broke out at an all-night New Jersey arts festival, and the event was on the verge of being shut down when gunfire erupted, killing a suspect and injuring 22 other people, some critically. Mercer County Prosecutor Angelo Onofre says it appears that several Trenton area gangs had a dispute at the venue and multiple suspects began shooting at each other. A sheriff says that at least five people are dead and several others hurt as an SUV carrying more than a dozen people crashed while fleeing from Border Patrol agents in South Texas. Demet County Sheriff Marion Boyd says that the SUV went out of control at more than 100 miles per hour and overturned on Texas Highway 85, ejecting those inside. Most of the occupants were believed to be living in the country illegally. More details at srnnews.com.
For most Floridians, our home is our biggest investment. If you are shopping for a new home, vacation home, investment property, want to remodel your home, or need to refinance your existing home loan, you need the very best mortgage professionals working for you to make your American dream come true. I'm Mariah Lee with Patriot Home Funding. And regardless of your mortgage needs, Patriot Home Funding has just the right loan for you. All of our loan products offer the lowest possible fixed rates. We don't charge annoying and expensive junk fees, and you get the very best service and care from me and the rest of our experienced all-star team. Contact us today for a quick, easy, and free pre-qualification. You can call us at 877-377-8123 or visit us on the web at myphf.com. At Patriot Home Funding, we finance the American dream.
Patriot Home Funding is a licensed mortgage broker in the state of Florida. NMLS 171699 and is an equal housing lender.
The news stories are alarming. Sexual assault, violence, workers' comp fraud, and drug abuse. And it's happening in the workplace. Last year, a construction worker in Central Florida attacked his boss with a front-end loader and almost buried him alive. And the Pulse nightclub shooter worked as a security guard for a company that knew he was mentally unstable. Hi, I'm Kathy Santomassino with ASAP Programs. If you're a business owner or manager, it's your responsibility to safeguard your employees. Did you know a company can be held liable if an employee does harm to someone? Negligent hiring can result in a company being sued, especially if that company didn't conduct a thorough background check. With Applicant 360 Screening Solutions, you will be able to effectively screen your job applicants and make smarter hiring choices. Don't base your decision on a first impression and a resume. Call me today at 407-702-9511. Call 407-702-9511.
What's going on, everybody? That's right. It's your boy, the 7-foot wonder kid himself, the Blueprint Matt Morgan, the genetic giant. And right now you're listening to the American Adversaries Political Professional Wrestling Show only on Orlando's WRL FM 105.5 and on AM 660, The Answer.
All right, we're back. Thanks again for listening. And for those of you who are watching and listening on Facebook, thank you for that as well. And yet, tomorrow we're going to name the camera, right?
Yes, Chris.
We're not even giving you any hints. Other than to tune in tomorrow night, we will unveil the name for our camera. And I think you'll like it. Okay, in the meantime, that is Kathy Santomassino. I am Christopher Hart. We are coming to you live from the Relax in Comfort Studios. Jeff Sinis is on the bridge. 407-774-8255 is the number. Before we get back to Sunday's Odd Stories, I just want to remind you that you can check out Relax in Comfort, any of their four great locations, Winter Park Village, and Seminole Town Center, and the Villages in Lake County. And they've got these great new aromatic pillows, and I love the one that they gave me. And you can get those at a discount and a buy one, get one free if you mention that you heard about them on the American Adversaries radio show. So please get down there and check them out. All right, back to the odd stuff.
Well, we all love our videos. I think this video will be the video of the week, Chris. A video taken by a man in Commerce City, Colorado, captures a pair of portable toilets being lifted up into the air by a strong wind.
Nobody was inside.
No, thankfully. The clip posted onto the man's Facebook page features residents at the park enjoying a sunny day out until a sudden gust of wind begins to ravage their outdoor fun and party tent. The portable toilets are seen being carried across the sidewalk and then slamming into parked cars before one takes off into the sky. Fluids from the portable toilet also appear to leak out as it continues to ascend
prior to crashing to the ground. Parkgoers shielded their children from flying debris during the incident, with no one appearing to be seriously injured. Maybe a little embarrassed, but I'd say that would be quite a visual scene, toilets flying above me.
Well, it gives new meaning to the expression, you know what is flying. You know what's really flying.
Yeah, there you go. I didn't think of that one.
Oh, my Lord. These little microbursts, though, like we get here in Central Florida from these thunderstorms, they can be not tornado force winds, but certainly you can get 60, 70, 80 mile an hour gusts in a very small area that will cause weird things to happen.
And you've seen those bounce houses just take off.
Yeah.
And these toilets are heavier, so it had to really be, I'm going to have to steal your thunder, Chris. It had to be a force to be reckoned with. There we go. Anyway, two semi-trucks crashed on a highway in Arkansas Thursday morning, leaving miniature bottles of whiskey scattered across the road.
Hallelujah.
I love this story. The Arkansas Department of Transportation shared photos of the aftermath of the crash between the two trucks as hundreds of bottles of Fireball cinnamon whiskey spilled onto the highway. Looks like we'll be working this for a while, the department wrote. The Department of Transportation closed I-40 during cleanup, and there were no life-threatening injuries, but a lot of happy workers. And if you like fine bourbon, you may want to consider the following brew. A New Hampshire distillery is marketing a new craft bourbon containing an unusual flavoring ingredient, beaver secretion.
Oh, God.
Okay. Tanworth Distilling and Mercantile announced the release of Ode Musk, an 88-proof bourbon selling for $65 per 6.7-ounce bottle. The high-end spirit is flavored in part by scent oils from the castor sacks of beavers from New Hampshire.
Now, the castor sack ain't in their mouth. It's in the other end.
Let me explain.
Don't go into too much detail.
Well, it's aromatic.
Somebody might be out there eating.
It's aromatic.
Oh, boy.
Very distinct.
Oh, yeah.
It's leathery, rich, slightly fruity in a non-traditional sense.
Are you talking about the
whiskey?
Oh.
It really works in quite well, Tamworth distiller Matt Power said in an interview. The scent oils known as castoreum are actually found in a surprising number of products, said beaver trapper Anton Kaska, who supplied the substance to the distillery. I just want to know how he got it from the beaver to the glass. Anyway,
ask any dog groomer.
I'm sure you've had castoreum. You just didn't know it.
Oh, Lord.
When you eat something good and you see natural flavors, a lot of time you can thank a trapper, he said.
A beaver trapper.
Okay, and for the record, the definition of castoreum is the yellowish secretion of the castor anal sac. Beavers use castoreum in combination with urine to scent mark their territory. Both beaver sexes have a pair of these castor sacs and a pair of anal glands located in two cavities under the skin between the pelvis and the base of the tail. Well, and I guess that's too much information, but you heard it here first on the American Adversaries radio show.
I can understand the usefulness of this stuff for the beavers. All right, but I can't understand the usefulness for humans, or who would have thought of using that as an ingredient in anything?
Well, I have to hand it to Tamworth Distilling for coming up with the name Ode Musk.
Oh, boy.
That was just so original.
I remember not to buy that whiskey.
Oh, well.
Or at least to drink some other whiskey before I try that whiskey.
Well,
oh,
I'm going to stick with lemonade, Chris.
Me too.
Country Time.
I think I'll stick with that moonshine they sell up here at Cafe Positano.
The Aqua di Sidro.
Yeah.
Country Time Lemonade announced a Country Time legal aid program to pay fines and permits for kids whose lemonade stands get them into trouble.
No, I like that. Who's this?
This is Country Time Lemonade. The lemonade brand, owned by Kraft Heinz, announced the new program will cover fees of up to $300 for lemonade stands owned by kids under the age of 14 who were fined for operating their small businesses without a permit. Life doesn't always give you lemons, but when it does, you should be able to make and share lemonade with the neighborhood without legal implications, the company said. That's why we're here to take a stand for lemonade stands across the nation. Officials said the program was inspired by news coverage of kids whose lemonade stands were shut down by local authorities
right.
for operating without a permit. Adam Butler, a Kraft Heinz general manager, said, "When we saw these stories about lemonade stands being shut down for legal reasons, we thought it had to be an urban myth. After looking into it and seeing even more instances, we realized these weren't myths, they were real stories." Love this move by Country Time, and let's hope more kids start lemonade stands.
I mean, it's absurd that these kids are being put through this to begin with, but it's pretty cool that Country Time Lemonade?
Country Time Lemonade.
Now, isn't that the stuff you mix?
Yeah, it's in a canister.
Right.
That's
even doubly cool because most kids who make lemonade stands, they use real lemons.
Yeah.
They don't use the store-bought mixes.
Well, I think a lot of kids probably do the shortcut, too.
Well, they might. They might.
You know, lemons are expensive if you price lemons recently. And, you know, I have to hand
But this is a great capitalist solution,
yes.
You see.
Kraft Heinz was genius in coming up with a way not only to promote them as a good American brand, but they're helping kids have lemonade stands. Huh. It's all about America and having free enterprise. You might as well start with kids and lemons, right?
I suppose so. That's right. I like that idea.
Well, a Massachusetts museum is hoisting a 64-foot-long paper airplane into the air to break a Guinness World Record. The Revolving Museum in Fitchburg announced the paper plane, created under the supervision of Project SOAR, leader and local artist Jerry Beck. It will be lifted by crane Tuesday at the Fitchburg Municipal Airport. A Guinness World Records adjudicator will be on hand to verify whether the 1,500-pound plane beats the previous record for a paper airplane, which was created by students and faculty at Germany's Braunschweig Institute of Technology in 2013. Beck said the project has been 4 years in the making and involved contributions from more than 4,500 people, including a 2-year-old child and a 92-year-old man.
Now, I want to know who folded it.
I don't know, but that's
How'd they get a piece of paper? How long do you say it was? 64 feet?
1,500-pound plane.
And how long, you said at the beginning there? Obviously, they're putting papers together.
It's a big
together,
airplane.
But
I mean, obviously, it would be quite an endeavor to create a paper airplane that would even be able to enter this contest.
See, now, I would like to know what are the qualifications, because normally a paper airplane is folded paper.
Right.
And I wonder if somehow they're able to pull this off. It'll be
interesting. I would love to see it. I love aviation.
Mm.
But did you hear about Domino's in the last week, what they're up
this
to?
I saw the new commercial today.
Okay, well, Domino's announced it is partnering with U.S. cities to fill potholes and stamp them with the company's logo to avoid letting bad potholes ruin good pizza. The pizzeria chain, based in Ann Arbor, Michigan, announced it is partnering with cities across the country to repair potholes and is seeking recommendations from customers for more cities. Domino's said the Paving for Pizza campaign is already underway in Athens, Georgia, Bartonville, Texas, Burbank, California, and Milford, Delaware. Potholes, cracks, and bumps in the road can cause irreversible damage to your pizza during the drive home from Domino's, the pizzeria said in a news release. Photos shared by Domino's show the company's logo stamped on the former potholes, along with the message, "Oh, yes, we did." The company's website calls on customers to nominate their areas to be the next to receive pothole assistance. I say, let's get started here in Orlando, beginning with I-4.
And Hampton over here, Hampton
Downtown
Drive.
Downtown Orlando.
You got a bunch of brick roads. Of course, I don't know if they'll do brick roads, but they're running new commercial spots. I saw the first one today. And they're not promising, obviously, to fill all the potholes in America. They'd go broke doing that. But you can notify the company. They have a website where you can notify them and tell them about. And this isn't for their delivery drivers. I thought it was for the delivery drivers, right? No, this is for you buying and picking it up and taking it home
right,
in your own car.
Right.
So, try to take advantage of it.
Another brilliant marketing campaign.
Absolutely. And another, bit of capitalism. you know, helping to make our country great again.
Absolutely.
All right, we got to take another break. When we come back, Kathy's got another story or two, and we'll wrap it up here. But as I said, you got a lot of great radio yet to go tonight right here on these same stations. And then, of course, tomorrow night, we'll be back with the Monday Drive Time Prime Time Show. So we'll be right back with more of the American Adversaries Sunday evening, 3-hour classic tour.
Business owners, this is for you. Competition is tough these days, so you need maximum visibility to stand out in this crowded landscape. And Dino Rento Studios can give you that visibility. Their eye-catching signs, 3D displays, banners, bumper stickers, and car magnets will get your business the attention you're looking for. Dino will also make your convention display the talk of the event. So call Dino Rento Studios at 800-704-7089, 800-704-7089, or visit them at DinoRentosStudios.com. Dino, R-E-N-T-O-S, Studios.com, where they bring ideas to life.
Nearly everyone loves Italian food, but those people who love true, authentic Italian go to Cafe Positano. It's because owner and chef Pasquale Barba offers home-cooked food from his hometown, Positano, Italy. He is Italian. Local fresh items are combined with rare ingredients imported only from Italy, along with generations-old family recipes. Whether it's pizza or those delicious daily specials, taste for yourself at Cafe Positano, 4 miles west of I-4 on 436. 407-774-8080, the most authentic Italian food in Central Florida.
There is nothing wrong with your television set. Do not attempt to adjust the picture. We are controlling transmission. If we wish to make it louder, we will bring up the volume. If we wish to make it softer, we will tune it to a whisper. We will control the horizontal. We will control the vertical. We can roll the image. Make it flutter. We can change the focus to a soft blur or sharpen it to crystal clarity. For the next hour, sit quietly and we will control all that you see and hear. We repeat, there is nothing wrong with your television set. You are about to participate in a great adventure.
Now we can really get into this because we're live on Facebook. So what we'll have to do is when we're doing this little intro from the Outer Limits, we'll have to take control of the camera and make it go up and down.
Absolutely.
You know, just like the guys say.
Have the lights flicker, which they're actually doing right now.
All right. Welcome back to the show. That's Kathy Santomassino. I am Christopher Hart. As I was mentioning earlier, tomorrow night, the Orange County Republican Executive Committee is going to elect new officers, and our own Randy Ross of the Trump 2020 Club is running for vice chair, and you could do no better than Randy Ross. I mean, he's a hard worker, he's dedicated, and he'll take the executive committee to levels they haven't seen before. And if you don't believe me, just look at what he's done with that Trump 2020 Club and the outreaches and the hurricane. Remember the I-4 to, first it was I-4 to Texas, then I-4 to Florida, then I-4 to Puerto Rico. And it takes a lot of work and coordination and stuff to be able to pull that off, and he did. So, and now only a few people are eligible to vote. You have to be a member of the executive committee. But I know a number of members listen to this show, so I'm just encouraging you to consider and show your support for Randy Ross. And 1 week from today, at Paula White's church in Apopka, you can go to Trump 2020 Club and get more details. And that's on McCormick Road, 505 McCormick Road, Apopka. There will be taping a Today Show segment there. So if you'd like to show up and show support for President Trump and Pastor Paula White, you can do that next Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Okay.
Organizers of an annual skinny dipping event in Ireland announced this year's dip involved a record-breaking 2,505 naked women taking a swim.
Here we go.
I knew you'd love this story, Chris.
You always save the best for last.
Well, one of the next to the last.
Okay.
The Strip and Dip, an annual event at Magermore Beach in County Wicklow, broke a Guinness World Record last Saturday when 2,500-plus women shed their clothes and spent at least 5 minutes in the chili water. Organizers said they bested the previous world record for a mass skinny dip, which was set 3 years ago in Western Australia, where 786 nude bathers took the plunge. The event raised more than $342,000 for a cancer charity. So it was all for a good cause.
Oh, yeah. It's always a good cause when you get 2,500 naked women together.
Chris, would you shed your clothes for charity?
I might.
I would. I definitely would.
To go skinny dipping with 2,500 naked women?
I don't think you know what to do.
You wouldn't have to twist my arm.
Well, police
in Florida.
But it
just goes to show that the woman's body still has power.
And we do.
Indeed.
We always do.
Always have.
Well, you know, it's been the week of the monkey. Remember the monkey in Home Depot last Sunday
I
talked about?
Yeah.
Well, we have another monkey story from right here in Florida where police shared body camera footage of my glasses are getting fogged up after the nude story, of a suspected car thief saying goodbye to his alleged accomplice, a capuchin monkey. Yeah, the Pasco County Sheriff's Office said Cody Blake Hessian, 23, allegedly stole a car he found unlocked in St. Pete with the keys hidden under a floor mat. Deputies found Hessian after he apparently crashed the car into a ditch, and they were surprised to find that he wasn't alone. A monkey was clinging to his body. Hessian told deputies he purchased the primate named Monk about 4 years ago, but investigators found he did not have a permit for the exotic pet. Hessian was arrested for grand theft auto charges along with possession of an exotic animal without a permit. The monkey was safely transported to the Suncoast Primate Sanctuary in Palm Harbor.
How about that? These monkey stories.
I tell you, in the car while he's stealing it, though. That's a really dumb criminal story.
I guess it is, yes. Hopefully the monkey is in good hands.
Yeah, the monkey's fine. Did you hear about the little girl in Missouri who went missing for 12 hours last week?
No.
Well, little Remy Elliott, a precocious 3-year-old, put her family through quite a scare when she went missing last Thursday night. Roughly 100 volunteers and 2 helicopters searched for hours to locate her. The little girl had wandered into a cornfield about a half a mile from home. Her dog, a Yorkie named Fat Heath, followed the toddler into a cornfield and stayed with her throughout the night. Apparently, searchers were alerted by the sounds of the dog's barks and were able to follow the noise to locate the little girl. Luckily, Remy was found unharmed, and next to her was her faithful 4-legged hero, Fat Heath. And that's SOS News for Sunday, June 17th.
All right. Very good. Very good. You know, there's been a number of instances where animals, sometimes even wild animals, not a pet like in this case, have saved people in similar circumstances. And it's amazing that that animals are able to sense, and sometimes, as I said, even wild animals, a human in distress. All right.
What about talk show hosts in distress?
There's no hope for us.
Well, you're getting down to the wire, Chris. So.
Yeah, that's right. We are getting down to the wire with tonight's show. As I said, Mark Walters will be up next, and I'll be listening on the way home. And I'll be surprised if at some point during his show, and as I said, he may have already talked about this during his daily show, I would be surprised if he hasn't talked about or will not be talking about these two deputies in Kansas City who were killed by their own weapon as they were transporting a prisoner into court for a hearing. It's gotten so very little coverage, and I know that this happens way too much, and that's part of the problem with the media is it's happening all the time, so they just kind of look past these stories. And I won't do it again, but I've already read tonight twice the story, the entire story about these two deputies being killed in today's Orlando Sentinel. Now, these two deputies were killed on Friday. One was killed dead on the scene. The other one died at the hospital. And I'm talking about Deputy Patrick Moore and Deputy Teresa King. And in the two-sentence story in the Orlando Sentinel, it doesn't even mention their names. All he rated was two sentences, basically saying that they had been killed by a prisoner.
Well, I'd like to extend our prayers to the Valencia family, the young police officer who got shot in the head this last week, and he's still in critical condition.
In a coma.
And in a coma, we'd like to send our prayers out to Mrs. Valencia, her family, friends. We hope he makes a speedy recovery.
And the mothers of those families of those children that this guy killed.
And you don't want to spend your Father's Day in a hospital bed, do you?
And evidently, he killed the kids early on in the incident, maybe even before the police got there, and shot them in their bed while they were sleeping in their pajamas. And then
Howard.
And then, see, he knew. See, this is the, he knew that that standoff wasn't going to end good because he'd already killed the kids. But by the way, this is once again why we support the Wounded Officers Initiative, because they support these wounded officers like Officer Valencia. And the medical staff is saying he has a quote-unquote long road to recovery. Let me tell you something. He doesn't have a long road to recovery. He now has an endless road to recovery, because he will never recover. He will never be able to be the man he wanted to be, a police officer, active duty. And there is no support structure for individuals like himself. Kathy, we've been to, what, three of these banquets now?
At least
Wounded
three.
Officers Initiative.
Yeah, three
and we
or
see
four.
They introduce these people, men, women, all races.
Heartbreaking.
And it's heartbreaking. Not just what they went through to get in that situation, like this guy being shot in the eye.
And the ripple effect, the families, the friends, the parents.
The recovery.
The children, they're all impacted by this.
Right. And many of these people can no longer be in the police department at all. And they lose all, they don't have no benefits. There's nothing there for them.
And you know, the average police officer, his first year pay is less than a teacher's pay. Did you know it's around $35,000
to $40,000?
Yep. It's a disgrace.
It is indeed. And so we ask for your prayers, but we also ask that you help the Wounded Officers Initiative. Their website is woundedofficersinitiative.org. You spell it all out, woundedofficersinitiative.org, and that's where you can find out more details about what they do, various ways that you can help. They got a golf tournament coming up. If you like to golf, you can participate in that. If you can afford it, please just make a contribution. If nothing else, educate yourself as to what they are about and spread the word. Be an evangelical for them. Evangelize about what they're doing, because there's such a desperate need for it. And once again, these officers, these deputies who were killed in the line of duty, they deserve more than two sentences and some little backstory stuck in the newspaper where people probably will never see it. They deserve a lot more than that. And so, once again, all of our thoughts and prayers go out to everyone in the law enforcement community. But in tonight in particular, Officer Valencia and the families of Patrick Moore and Teresa King, two fine deputies who were killed by one of them managed to shoot the suspect, but he managed to live. And tragic situation. It is Father's Day, and we don't want to leave it on that, but we do want to leave it with good thoughts for fathers all around, and couldn't do without you. So please have a good thought for your father. And if you are a father out there, then well, congratulations and happy Father's Day to each and every one of you. All right. As I said, Mark Walters up next. And don't forget, Trump 2020 Club on Tuesday is presented by Sutherland Nissan. When you need a new automobile, check them out at Sutherland Nissan, East Colonial Drive and Chickasaw Trail. That's OrlandoNissan.com. Kathy has a beautiful Nissan.
And it's beautiful, but it's really dirty right now with the rain.
But it's still fun to ride in. And Nissan makes a great automobile. When you head out there, please tell them the Titans of Talk Radio sent you to check out their Titans trucks. All right? That'd be us, the American Adversaries. And that'd be the end of tonight's show. So until tomorrow, night, everybody.
Good night.
News, opinion, passion, FM 105.5.